Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
We're on the same page. We're agreeing. We're escalating and yelling at each other louder despite agreeing with each other.
That's the show.
Are you ready for
this?
It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network. It's Clancy and Feidelberg.
Hey.
We're back. Fresh off our live show. Shout out to everyone who came out to Levity out in Rockland. We hit the burbs for our first live show back from COVID. If you were there, shout out to you. Got a couple hundred people in a mall.
In a mall.
It was a weird thing, man. That's one of those, like, so Levity Comedy Club is in the mall, in the Palisades Mall, which is like the 10th biggest mall in the country or some shit.
Which so Kevin didn't know malls were big.
Bro, it's the biggest mall in the country.
It's a huge one.
It's bigger than any mall you've ever been in.
It's
bigger than any mall you've ever been in.
On the way in, which, oh yeah, by the way, Kevin's the worst driver in the history of the world. It's amazing.
I am.
It's actually fucking impressive.
Just because you're scared doesn't mean I'm bad at it.
You slammed the brakes a lot.
Because I'm multitasking.
Yeah, that's bad driving.
No, it's not. It's good driving.
Oh, you're incorrect.
I'm never going to get in an accident. Never been in an accident.
Oh, I can't wait until you die in a car accident.
If that happens, you can call me a bad driver. Until then, save your fucking pearl clutching for your fucking mom's car. It's like, I'm promoting the
you
show.
You had no idea I thought you were bad driving.
I absolutely did.
Oh, shit.
When I first, the first time I had to like brake because I was
that
fucking
was
putting
what,
up.
Whoa.
You went, and it was like, there was like 25 feet between us and the next car.
There was about a foot between us and a dog.
There was never any, that was crazy too. I was just turning left. And if you've ever turned left in New York City, when the pedestrians are coming, you got to slowly creep in. Otherwise, you're never going to turn left.
But it wasn't a slow creeping.
It was a slow
it
creep.
It was a jam
According
stash.
To me, it it's a slow creep. Just because you creep extra slow doesn't mean my slow creep isn't slow. You sound like my fucking mom. And now you know what's going to happen next time you're in the car with me? Now I'm really going to drive.
Oh,
like
yeah,
an
guess
asshole.
What? Never again.
Yeah, good. 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 And how much quicker did I get you there? These guys left like half an hour before,
I will
and they
say
got there
this
20 minutes after.
Significantly.
Yeah. I love that. When I was like, Nick, how do you get there? He's like, I'm not there yet. I was like, we left 20 minutes after you. It was amazing.
It was
made
impressive.
Great time because of my driving. Fuck you.
The timing was good. The driving was subpar.
Jackie's in the back crying her eyes out because she's fucking like reading or
bro,
looking at the screen
the
or whatever.
Yet. Jackie's like, I'm going to puke.
That's also because you guys don't know how to, when you drive in Manhattan, and especially right now post-COVID, it's a fucking post-apocalyptic war out there, man. The amount of, there are times I'm like blowing past cops being like, I don't care what you're saying. Fuck you. I got to turn left because if I don't, it's another hour and a half on my trip. You got motherfuckers who are, they have no idea what they're doing out here in the streets.
Okay, but the issue with your driving, other than the fact that you don't even use your hands, you drive with your knees, but you also, when you switch, like, the issue is the jerkiness of your driving.
In the city, you have to do that.
It's very herky-jerky.
You're
correct.
You could so easily just, like, slightly, like,
no, you cannot.
Lanes.
No, you
cannot. You go, like, horizontal, and then you pull your back in.
If you... I want you to drive in the city and tell me that you can just slowly glide in and out.
By the way, this is a woman. Because
you can't.
This is a woman who's hit an 80-year-old man, and she's telling you, by the way,
the last driving story from Jackie was, I hit a pedestrian.
Secret.
Take your fucking California West Coast driving bullshit and shove it up your ass.
It was
I believe she said
tap.
He was dramatic about the whole thing.
He was. Again, hit is an aggressive word. Hard tap.
The definition of you make contact with a pedestrian and you are in the car, that's the problem.
The definition of hitting is hard tap.
If I hit the dog, if I hit that Great Dane, first of all, we would have been fucked. That Great Dane would have like broke my windshield. If
yeah,
I hit the dog,
falls in.
Yes, if I hit the dog, I would have been like, hand up, I hit a dog. I'm a bad driver. I didn't hit the dog. You hit a grandpa.
But the old man didn't fall, like he didn't fall.
Well, because he's a fucking warrior. Apparently,
because his balance is still up from Omaha Beach when he invaded.
No, my car hit, like, made contact with him. Yes.
Oh, now it's the car's fault. But officer, I wasn't speeding. The car was speeding. I didn't hit him. the car.
But the I do say the you did pull a move that I will describe as nothing less than legendary is when so I we all text and drive. It happens occasionally, but usually once you kind of have a situation, you're like, all right, like fuck, let's
put the phone down.
Let's fucking zone in here. Kevin had to slam the brakes as a it was not his fault, by the way. He cut across like three lanes of traffic to get by.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, well, no, you didn't because you didn't see it.
I did, but okay.
No, you saw the car. You didn't see where it came from.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay.
You did not know how many lanes.
Right. I got you.
And so Kevin had to slam the brakes on, and usually you put your phone down in that case. Kevin didn't even break stride in a text.
Dude, like, it's not even texting anymore. I mean, I've edited videos driving. Like, I will sit there and I'm chopping up one Minuteman videos to send to my brother. I mean, I don't even consider not multitasking behind the wheel anymore. I mean, just like also just dumb things like that the other day. Like I needed to get out of the house. I needed to get here. I think it was that day. I was like, I'm on a tight schedule, and I was like, the videos were too long. So I was like, I have to do this. There are times where I'm just like checking out the timeline. I'm just like, wow, this is getting boring.
I give driving theater rules, which I know you don't abide by either. Mm-hmm. Which is, if you text me, I'm gonna reply to a quick text, but I'm not gonna fuck around on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just on the phone constantly. It's a full blown addiction. So whether, you know, it's like when you're in the car, if you're addicted to cigarettes, you're smoking them. Yep. If you've got an addiction, doesn't matter where you are, you're fucking scratching that itch, man.
Put it on the board. It is, I refuse to ever die in a tornado, and Kevin, we have to have a party when Kevin dies in a car accident.
Yes. Yes. I will die behind the wheel. It's like, no doubt. It's and like when that happens, you can call me a bad driver. Until then, you can call me an aggressive driver. Sure. You can call me, I was going to say reckless. I don't really give you reckless.
I'm going to give you reckless.
I've never been in an accident. Until
what you're doing in the car is reckless. So you're being a reckless driver. Now you have not reaped the rewards of that just yet.
I think that until it's reckless, it's like, I guess you're right. I'm trying to think, I guess the reckless is not defined by the results, right?
Right.
But until then, it's like when people say like, oh, you know, one day you're going to get what's coming to you. And if you don't get what's coming to you, you fucking.
Yeah, I feel like this is when I was talking
I'm getting places faster for the rest of my life until I get in a car accident.
I feel like when I was talking to the throat doctor and he's like, yeah, you show like no signs of chewing tobacco. And but it's going to kill you.
But you will die. You know what it is, too?
He was so open. It was so weird. I'm seeing you again tomorrow, by the way. So, but
you're going back to the doctor?
Yeah.
For your mystery illness?
Yeah, just a follow-up.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Figure it out.
I think everyone I've talked to has been very concerned. That they were like, I don't know. Hope it doesn't happen again. It's like, what is this, like the 1800s? Like, I don't know. Hope you don't die.
So doctors do it. Take a stab.
Mail time. I am a worse driver. I am a bad driver when I have to drive properly. That I have to drive the way I drive.
This sounds like someone who like a high school kid who's like I drive better
drunk yeah
because I focus
yeah well, no but when I have to do like 10 and 2 and like drive the speed limit I like it feels weird to me I feel like I'm driving too slow and that's like the problem if I have open road in front of me I take it
yeah when you're cautious that's when you get hurt.
Kind of.
That's what Lenny Ortiz says.
It's like, you know, when you brace up, you
no
fucking.
One, huh?
I don't know who Lenny Ortiz.
Fast time. You don't know who Lenny is? Come on. But yeah. Go
yeah, but ahead. when you brace up is when like, you break all your bones. When you're loosey goosey is when you're good. That's me. I'm just good to go. Zip, 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 in and out. And honestly, I mean, I cannot tell you how fucking bad the traffic is. It's a war out there.
It was bad. That was my first time experiencing it.
I mean, it was like, it probably took us, let's say, 50 minutes to get there, and 30 minutes was just getting like to the fucking West Side Highway.
150. I think it was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, was it? I mean, whatever it was, but like the first like 30 minutes was just like moving like three blocks in the city.
Yeah.
And that's where Jackie was.
And cops saying, no, you can't turn here.
Just go in. Fucking get out of here.
Jackie, can you do me a favor? Can you get me a glass of ice, please? I'm just going to have a drink. Like I get a weekend cold, and I was like all day I've been saying, like, just get through the Henry interview.
A weekend cold? Is that what we're calling now? A weekend cold?
That's what Josh's friend just recently texted him. Was she bailing on you?
Yeah.
A weekend cold.
Which I'm using that. That's awesome.
I was going to say I almost respect that. Yeah, like,
I was supposed to go on a date tonight, and she was like,
"Hey, I haven't really like recovered from this weekend cold," and I tweeted, I was like, "The fuck's a weekend cold? Is that a nice New York way to say like you went to Common Ground and just like did too many drugs this weekend?"
That girl has a fat hangover and did too many drugs this weekend. I almost have to respect that. I'd rather that than like an actual, like, she softened it, but she didn't lie.
Right.
You know? She like rebranded.
Yeah.
That was rebranding. That was just good branding. If she said like, "Oh, I gotta like go to like my mom's house," and like, that's just a lie. If she was like, "I did too much cocaine this weekend," like, "All right, girls, see you next weekend. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll get you on a Thursday before you go on your coke binge. Who knows?" Yeah, right. Like, I would love to have a hangover, a weekend cold with you. We could have our hangover cold together, girl. This could be the beginning of something beautiful. We got Kabil Kostic on the show today talking Sports Illustrated and modeling and whatnot. Mostly John's nipples. Fiance. We talk a lot about nipples. Put that on your fucking clickbait. Kabil Kostic talks about nipples on KFC Radio. Let's go. We also, this week, we will have an interview coming up with Henry Gold that we did today. Henry Golding. And we'll talk more about it at length, but I just can't not talk about it. He grabbed our dicks. Yeah. Like, the hottest guy in the world grabbed our dicks.
He got both of your balls, right?
My two nuts and my dick.
See, he only
got
one.
He's got a bear paw. He's got a huge hand. Huge hands.
He only got one. He got full dick and one nut. And it just,
I loved it.
Just because I got one that's longer.
Had he scooped under, he would have got it all, but he didn't go too low.
He's got the one that's at regular height.
So that is on the show this week, and we got more to talk about with him, but I don't want to ruin that. But the live show, like I said, a couple hundred people came out, and
zero from New York City,
which I loved.
Which makes sense after we spent the
how
time
long it takes to get out there.
I was under the impression that night the show was 20 minutes away.
Oh, I tweeted it's only 40 minutes away a lot of times.
Well, and technically it is if there's no traffic, but there's just no such thing as no traffic.
It's like Rocket saying it takes fucking, by the way, shout out Rocket, call him Poppy. But when he says it takes 15 minutes, I believe. Oh, no, 7 minutes. I forget what time it is he says, but to get from Saugus to Fenway. And then Coley was like, "I'm never again letting him say that to me because, like, it's been 45 minutes now."
I'm good, thanks.
And
yeah, it's like 7 minutes if you fly,
Rocket,
like a bird.
Rocket waited until 3 a.m. to do a and he's like, "Look," and I was like, "I love it." Oh, wait, yeah. And
that's
he also,
amazing.
He also said something like, "He's like, oh, I didn't realize you were gonna do it during rush hour traffic." And it's like, "Hey,
that's when the games are, dude."
How long did you get to Fenway? "Oh, you wanted to go for a Sox game?" Yeah, that's gonna take you longer.
I mean, if I was a KFC Radio fan and I lived in Manhattan and I got bamboozled into going to this, like I was pitching, "Come on out from the city, it'll be a good time." And I mean, I would take one look at the traffic and be like, "Oh my god, eat the cost of those tickets, whatever." It was all Rockland people, all people from the burbs, which is cool. Levity is a cool club because I think my guess would be that it started out as like comics go through there when they want to work out some new material, when they are trying out new bits, when they, you know, they're not ready, whatever. But then so many people did that it just became like its own fucking spot because Louis C.K. was there the week before and the hallways was like Chris Rock and Gary Seinfeld. And it's just crazy to me that it's in a mall. It's like, because there's no, unless I'm wrong, maybe there is, but like there's no back way to get in, right? Like if a star shows up, he's walking by fucking Dave and Buster's and you know, right by JCPenney's, right through the front door. No, like
there has to be somewhere, I guess. Right?
But it seems
didn't tell us.
Yeah, they were trying to let those fucking assholes walk right in.
You know, there's a hockey rink in that mall.
Oh, so now the mall's big, huh?
That's what the whole thing was about.
Now it's impressive.
Kevin was surprised that I used to go to the movies in malls.
Yeah.
He's like, "You grew up on malls at movie theaters?" And I was like, "Yeah, like that's every mall ever."
It's not, though.
The hockey rinks are new. Go-kart things, those are new. Those are big malls. It's a big mall. But a theater in a mall is not a big – it doesn't make it a big mall. It just makes it a mall.
That's not true.
True.
Because I mean,
very normal.
I go to so many malls that don't have a movie theater.
You don't go to the right ones, then.
I mean, all of the malls in New York except for the Palisades don't have a fucking movie theater.
I just, what I'm saying, it's a suburb. It's like just most malls are in the suburbs. And then those ones.
These are in the suburbs.
Huh?
These are in the suburbs of New York.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I would venture to guess that 95% of malls have movie theaters. Malls.
Not around here.
And not like a fucking like multiplex like yours. Like when I went to the King of Prussia Mall like in Pennsylvania. That was the biggest mall in the country. This one's like top 10. Those are going to have it. Those are going to have fucking... What are those called? Ferris wheels.
Escalators.
Ferris wheels.
Ferris wheels?
So, yeah.
Ferris wheels?
Yeah. That has a Ferris wheel.
King of Prussia does?
No, the one we were just in.
It's too big. I didn't see it all, but... I never
said... It's a big mall!
I never said the mall was small. I said theaters aren't crazy. I said theaters don't make it a big mall. A hockey rink makes it a big mall.
It's a huge mall.
It's a big mall. We're on the same page. We're agreeing. We're escalating and yelling at each other louder despite agreeing with each other.
That's the show. That's how KMC Radio works. You asshole. Pour yourself some New Amsterdam vodka, John. Take that edge off. It's been a long day. It's the after. We've been at work for like 7 hours this work week, and it's too much. It's too much to handle. So have yourself.
I had to get up at like regular time this morning. It was bullshit.
I woke up at 6 a.m. and I puked.
Oh
yeah, we'll talk about.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's hear about this puke session.
You
had a weekend cold?
I had the equivalent of that of parenting. Instead of like a partying cocaine binge, I had children all weekend long. It was Keegan's birthday, the big 04. I had him all weekend long. And
oh, yeah, Keegan thinks I'm his dad now.
Yes. Yeah. John sent a happy birthday video, and I'm like in front of Keegan. I'm like, look at this. And he goes, is that daddy? I'm like, no, motherfucker. I'm daddy. Right here. Still me. You dumbass.
Is he saying we look alike?
I don't know. I think he like, I don't know what he thought. His brain just short-circuited.
Oh,
so
he's just an infant or something? Or like,
yeah,
it's not
just
infant,
a fucking four-year-old. Toddler. Yeah. He, is that daddy? I'm like, you idiot. I'm better looking than that. He's ugly.
Look how fat his head is, you dumb shit.
Haven't you seen your dad's skinny head? He's got a skinny head. but the first day was so Saturday we went to Ride Playland, which is you have it?
Yeah, we did the Devour like food games, the hockey we used to drink
there. Oh yeah. But you didn't do like the amusement park. It's like a second rate, third rate, you know, tiny amusement park, and they have a kids section. And it was 95 and hot as fuck. And I just...
A lot of asphalt, though, to cool down.
Oh, it's like the concrete jungle to the max. They did have those NFL, like, misters. There's one part where there's, like, mist shooting out.
Oh.
And I was like, let's just hang here for a while, kids. That felt great. I mean, I just don't do those things anymore. Like, if it's that hot, I'm like, my kids were like, I come up with indoor shit. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't do it.
Build a fort.
Yeah, like, all that kind of shit. So, but it was a big birthday celebration, so we go. And I mean, all of us. And kids, I've learned, just don't feel temperature, hot or cold. They just, and I remember that as a kid. Like, I would play, like, football and basketball till, like, my hands were frozen, and it just didn't matter. And at the beach and in the summer, like, you're dehydrating and about to, like, pass out. It's
fun to go play,
care.
Like, football in snowstorms.
Right. Like, and now it's like,
put on a t-shirt.
I never in a million years would. And so I'm, like, literally feeling, like, ill. I'm pouring water on my head. I'm sweating. I mean, just awful. So we go do that for a while, and then I think, like, okay, that was the big, like, thing for the weekend. And then the next day, that actually his actual birthday, that was the day before, so his actual birthday was Sunday. So stupid me thinking, like, his actual birthday wasn't going to be as big of a deal, but we needed to do some fun shit there, so we go to the park, and it's the same thing again. And so just
does he know it's his birthday?
Or very, you tell him? Very little. Like, he doesn't quite get it yet. He's dopey. He's just like, whatever, dude. Where are my presents? And I guess all weekend I was, like, kind of sunburned, very dehydrated, not eating right, like, stuff in, like, amusement park water, amusement park food and shit in my mouth. Yeah, that'll do it right. And then I instead of instead of consuming 3G responsibly, I overserved myself, I think. And so here's my scientific thought. This is my Jackie thought for the day. I think, because this has happened to me before, if I smoke too much weed or eat too many edibles, I throw up in the morning. And I think what happens.
How much has happened to you?
Probably half a dozen times. Because I am a high school child when it comes to weed and THC type products. And I get the munchies like a
fucking
idiot. Yeah. Like it's so cliche, but I can't help it. I mean, I can eat literally everything in sight. My brain is telling me that I eat too much food and I get too high and it stops the digestive processes in my stomach. Because when I throw up the next morning, it is like I just ate it 2 seconds ago.
Shut up.
It's like full mini muffins, full buffalo chicken, full cereal, whatever it is that I just had.
Together?
It's
actually, no, I'm not trying.
Maybe. But it comes out like it just went in. And I'm like, my stomach has just been doing nothing for 12 hours.
While you just did it into a bowl, you could just eat it again if you wanted?
Almost. If there wasn't like other bodily fluids in there, I could probably just eat it straight back. It's and like I think dog. That.
Like, oh, fuck, is that a hot dog?
Yes. If I somehow could have swallowed those things whole, they would have been right there for the taking. And so I woke up at 6, and I was like, oh, this sucks. But I was like, I don't want to puke right now. So I laid back down, being like, I'm just going to lay in bed. I'm just going to, like, breathe deep, put on the air conditioner, like, cool off. And then I was like, nope, it's coming. So I just puked. My brain's out. Like, blood coming out.
At 6 a.m. this morning?
Yes. Yes.
Boy, oh boy.
Then I went back to sleep till like 8.
I didn't puke, but I was up at 6 a.m. That sucked. I can't believe people do that. It's crazy.
You're up at what?
I was up at like 6 a.m. Like 5:30, I think.
Did you go to bed early?
No, because I was unsure. I had to take we had to be here for an 11 a.m. interview. So I took a ferry here at an 8 a.m. ferry. And that took a little bit of a drive.
That was silly of you. It was a Zoom interview.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted to be
I
like,
know. It I was, mean, it is better it was to a be full here, day. You, yeah. Yeah, getting up early. It's for the birds, man.
It's not.
It's one of the most.
I don't understand why people like just
don't
get a new job.
Well, like, I will say like COVID has kind of stopped this, and it might be going back. Like everything else in the world is going back to normal, so I suspect that like work hours will too.
Yeah.
But during the pandemic, like I mean, I used to get up. I used to when I was still with Caitlin, she would get to work. I used to get to the office. Working at Barstool Sports at like 7:30 in the morning.
That is nuts.
Insane,
when?
Right?
Like when we first moved here?
Yes, when we first had the first office. Like, because Caitlin would get up at like 5 to get ready and everything before the kids got up at like 6. And we would get on like a 6:54 train or something like that.
Oh my.
Which would get to the city at like 7:30. So maybe I got to the office like a little before 8. Because that was just like, she needed to be like at her office by like 7:30 or 8
the
or
janitors
whatever.
Here.
Yeah, and it was like... And I guess I would go home early, but I don't know. I just remember being like, this is terrible, and I don't need to do this. But it was like then, like we'd have to take 2 trips to the train station, and the nanny was getting the kid. It was just but it was one of those things that like I probably should have just been like no, because I was like miserable going to work at like 6 a.m. just because like someone else had to go to work at 6 a.m. You know, I remember being like, this is not my job, this is your job. Why am I doing this? So
dude, I remember
it was just that's the type of shit. No joke. Will kill you. Like, that's what makes you miserable, amongst other things. You have a shitty boss. You have a shitty like work that you have to do. But the hours and the timing in the morning will make you want to kill yourself.
When I was dating the girl who dumped me with the bar and the crying, the whole shebang, I could tell that dumping was coming for a while. Because whenever I'd sleep over her place, which was like basically every night because I lived with Lewis and Gaz, she'd leave in the morning and she'd be like, so you're just gonna. Like not gonna work yet? And I was like, no. We have different jobs. Yeah. You can go to the office. I'm gonna fucking stay here
until noon.
I'd just be like fat and shirtless in bed. She's like, I'm being productive. Anything you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. Can I have the remote? before you leave, can you bring the clicker over? Just this
lovey babe.
Just this fat asshole in her bed.
See at work for our healthy, thriving relationship. Can't wait to see you later, babe.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I go, dude, like, do it. I just, you know I really like just see you know a look. I'm like, oh, she's going to dump me soon.
You know what that is, though? That's jealousy. That's, you didn't do anything wrong.
I don't think so, but you just
keep different hours. And maybe it wasn't the most attractive thing in the moment.
Not a great visual.
Yeah.
That was the problem. If I was hotter.
If you were sexy in bed and were like, I don't have to go to work till 11, bitch.
Had one fucking leg hanging out with like a six pack.
Yeah. You could do whatever you want.
Instead of just a translucent fucking meat man out So my legs look like this, like big fat fucking meat man's, and then a couple
disgusting.
Of tits up here. It's a whole thing.
That you could have been getting up at 6 a.m. She doesn't want to see any of it. All of it's gruesome.
Could have getting up to fight crime and just been like, oh god, I don't think I want that fucking moose around me forever.
Why are you bringing it up with me? Well, you remind me of a moose. You're a moose. Yikes.
It's like, I actually feel like, you know, if you wanted to dump me, what girls should do is, it's easy, by the way, I accept it pretty quickly. But like, remember when Hasselhoff's kid recorded him drunk?
Yes.
To be like, this is what it is.
Right,
now.
Right.
Just record me while I'm sleeping.
That's a good idea.
Like, this is why I'm leaving.
Right.
Like,
and you would have to be like, okay.
Gross.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah, I mean, John's trying to leave himself. John, if he could, would leave himself on this planet. Yeah, that anybody legitimately, I cannot believe. You must be an incredible lover when you're awake.
No.
You must be great otherwise, because when you are asleep, it's absolutely enough. It could be true fucking love. It could be absolutely perfect. And I would be like, it breaks my heart, but we have to break up.
This isn't going
to
work.
Or I guess you would just have to be those couples who sleep in different rooms.
Yeah. But wait,
like apartments.
But yeah, so you have to get a new house.
You got
to
put you on like the
roof. Because you'll hear me.
Your neighbors must hear you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm. It's disgusting.
Have you ever heard yourself?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
people have recorded it.
Yeah. So you do know.
You know, I stole that idea. No, but it was a dumping, but it was just like, this is what you sound like at night.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Like, can you believe that people have sex with that? That somebody blows you? That's disgusting.
Kevin, lots of people have blown me.
I know. I know. It's crazy. Many. Dozens. Many.
Like, yeah, dozens.
Well, which was the highlight of our live show, by the way. You got to come out to the show to see everything, but the one thing we did, we were like, we got to tell this on the regular show. We got a voicemail. Actually, do you want to play the voicemail? Do you have it, or should I just recap it?
Just recap
it. Okay. Voicemail of the show last week. This dude made a bet with his buddy. And can you look this up? Can you get me his latest...
He's hitting 264 last I saw you tweet that.
Tommy Pham of the San Diego Padres. If Tommy Pham bats 300 this season, this guy has to suck his friend's dick. And he was batting, I think at that point was batting like 230 or something. And at the moment is batting
271?
No, wait, wait, no, that's his career. So he's batting 260. No, that is his year.
Motherfuckers.
Wait, is it?
Yeah.
So right now is batting 271.
Yo, he's a career 273 hitter. You can't fucking bet a sucking a dick for the first time on a career 273 hitter having a pretty solid season.
I mean, well, to bat 300, it would be at. I mean, that's a big year.
It's a big year,
but
it's not.
Yeah, it's not outside the realm.
273 is always all right.
Sometimes
about 270s
in this
year.
Yeah. So I think at the time he was batting like 230 or something. He started off really slow. And
I want to say
has just been like, you know, 30, 40 points later, is now batting 271. And so, I mean, the Tommy Pham watch to me is the most electric thing in all sports.
I cannot. I want to film this dude suck his friend's dick. Yeah. Like, I want to be present for it.
I said, if we can somehow, by the grace of God, go into game 162, batting 299.999, and all he needs is like a base knock. And we electric chair these two guys. Or even
Barstool
better.
Only fans.
Oh, yeah. The Barstool OnlyFans.
I kind of want it to be Ted Williams style.
He's above it, which and he might lose it.
He was 400 the day of.
Yeah.
Last game.
And he had a doubleheader.
Doubleheader, and he like went nuts. And
I think he went like 6-8. Yeah.
So I
want like, if I want to see him get like, it's 299, he gets like a base hit to put him at like 300, but he has like two or three more at-bats.
Yeah.
And you know that kid, And then comes the funny part of the bet, because I was gonna say the dude on the 300 side of things would be like, take him out, defensive replacement. Or would you?
because you want to get your dick sucked by your friend. Yeah. And we don't. The only thing we don't know, and we should. Can we call these guys back?
Yeah, I'm gonna find it. I'm looking right now.
Okay, let's call. If we can, let's call these guys back, because what we do need to find out is if there's the other side of the bet. Is it like you have to suck my dick if he bats under 300?
Right.
Because
right.
Really, then you're not the winner.
What if it was just the other kid's idea? And it's just like his way.
His
like,
friend's kinda, like, okay, dude.
He's like, hey, if Tommy Fan's doing this here, I'll suck your dick.
It's like, okay.
All right, sure. Like
he's batting 230. Okay, dude, whatever.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Tommy's at 276 now.
Right. He's like, oh, great, man. I mean, that's almost, yeah, that guy just wants to, like, just come out of the closet. And be like, yeah. I want to suck your dick. This is his very elaborate way of saying I'm attracted to you on a date. Tommy Fam. Tommy, do we get a number?
Give me a second.
Okay. While Nick looks for that. If we're talking about coming out of the closet, Luke Prokop became the first NHL player to come out.
Yes.
And I texted you.
Yep.
And I texted Ryan Whitney.
Yeah.
And I asked John and Ryan, can I say this? Because I have been they're trying to put me in a cage, John. The man's trying to hold me down. They put me in shackles after my Nigeria tweet. And I've been told that I can't make jokes of that nature anymore. So I'm trying to navigate this new world. And I thought what I had, I thought was a very funny tweet.
It's just an accurate tweet.
I said,
what did Whitney say?
He said, I said the same exact thing to both of you. I said, can I say this? And he said, no, I wouldn't. But it is true, though.
Yeah, okay, that's so what I said. And you it's said, hilarious like, and accurate. And
but
also
you'll probably get
mad.
In trouble. Yeah. So I, my tweet, I had it written out. I mean, my, while driving, I was driving into work today, tweeting that out, and I said, listen, all hockey players are a little bit gay. Luke Prokop is just fully.
It was,
and I mean,
I think
spot the lie.
It's very, I think if you, add, if I, because I gave you a little, like, a note where I said, if you said, like, but congrats to Luke for coming out fully
yeah,
there.
Yeah, to add a little positive
like
spin
a little positive
to it.
In there.
Yeah.
But it is, like, yeah, I mean, all hockey players are gay.
You guys are all so gay. and so, what do you think? Do you think that is a good locker room or a bad locker room to come out in general? And not his team. I mean, like, in the sport. Like, do you think it makes it easier or more difficult that everyone's, like, a little bit gay?
I would guess easier.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I was just wondering if it's kind of like, dude, you know, if you are going to be, like, an asshole about it, would you be like, oh, well, now you want to suck my wrench? You know?
Like, yeah, oh, you'll probably get some of that, for sure. But I would think it's all, like, through, like, love and, like, you know, friendship and
I would guess that hockey players, I think in professional sports, you're going to get assholes, bad people, deeply religious people who are against it.
Well, that's what I think the twist in hockey is.
Not very religious.
No one from the South.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm sure there are some religious people, no doubt. But it's not like baseball and football. Yeah, it seems like where most of the players are Southerners.
Right.
Where, like,
and
they were raised
in, general,
in very religious communities.
I mean, I don't know. But in baseball, there's a lot of, you know, you're praying to God after a home run and a lot of, like, post-game football. I just want to thank God. You just don't hear it in hockey.
You're
just not religious guys.
Heard it ever.
You got a lot of Canadians, got a lot of Russian guys, you know, international, but you just don't hear about, like, Jesus. You don't hear about. So maybe
no one thanks God
fuck.
For scoring a game-winning goal.
No.
Like, oh,
right.
Like, thank Jesus
thank
for putting that puck on
me.
My stick.
Yeah. No, I did. So that's obviously, I'm sure there's religious people, but it's all stereotypical, generalizing. But I think that it's probably the best. I could see a bunch of guys just being like, you know, whatever, Lukey, whatever, Prokey, some fucking stupid nickname they have for him, and they're just like, okay, cool, man, whatever, let's get back out there. And like, I do think it, and I think in football there's an element of it too, where it's like you're putting your like body on the line, your like life is on the line,
right?
So nobody really cares.
Yeah,
know?
I feel like it's almost
like we're here,
like,
we're brothers at war, basically.
Similar, I was gonna say similar to military,
yeah,
like, you know, like, anyone.
Whatever.
I feel like people get like. Worked up about that when, like, you know, there's like a new female Marine or some shit like that, and they're like, could she, and like, yeah, no,
she
passed
could
the
she
test.
Pull her weight? Could
right,
she,
so anyone
like,
who
you're
actually,
fucking fat, dude. Like, yeah, you know, she's tougher than you, I promise you. You know?
Anyone who's like actually serving with her is like, no, like,
you never
you
hear,
shut the fuck up, we're good.
I don't think you ever hear active people, active military members be like, can she fucking,
I would guess,
you know, it's always some fat slob like me being like, I don't think she can fucking do push-ups or whatever. You know, it's like, what? So I think that it would be a good thing, but, what team is he on?
Nashville. He's not on Nashville. He's a Nashville prospect. A Nashville draft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, he's not an
so
active NHL player.
That's ballsy to, unfortunately, ballsy to, like,
it's technically a risk. You know what I mean? Where you think, like, this might fuck my chance up of making a club. But
he also was, I think he was like a fifth round pick. Maybe a seventh round, but he's not like I don't know how he's doing now, but he wasn't like a top pick.
Right.
So he might not make the league anyway. I don't know. But yeah, I would think it's gonna be the easiest sport to come out. This is gonna sound like nonsense. The easiest and the hardest. Because I think everyone's gonna be very accepting, but also I think everyone's gonna wanna make jokes.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm
saying.
They're
already gay.
Yeah. Like, we're already whipping our helicopter and our dicks around. Yeah. Now we got to do it and be like, well, are we allowed to do this? Or, like, I don't know, whatever. Like, it's like, oh, we want to just make, like, gay straight jokes. Now they're, like, gay jokes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is that okay? Are we allowed, dude? I hope it would be different if he already was on a team. But if he walked in and it was kind of like crickets and then he was just like, what's up, boy? Yeah. And it's like, okay, we're good. We're still good. Anyway, just pretend that I sent that tweet and it's really fucking funny.
Good tweet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just tweet at me and be like, good tweet, bro. Good tweet. And that'll make me feel like I got those retweets off. Do we got a number?
We got a number. Check. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. This is Alex.
Alex, what's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just chilling. How are you doing?
We're good. So last Thursday night, we used your Tommy Pham voicemail for our live show.
Oh, no way. Legendary.
Yeah. Legendary is right.
Like,
to
say the least, man. We didn't know it was coming. Nick screened it and made like a little video to put up on the big screen. So we reacted the same way, you know, in real time, the same way the audience did. And I gotta tell you, it's like my favorite voicemail ever. We now are gonna put Tommy Pham watch out there, and we're just gonna like watch him like a hawk all season long to see if he can reach 300. So, give me a little bit background of like how this happened, what the circumstances were, and which side are you on? If you get your dick sucked if he bats 300, or you have to do the dick sucking?
No, so I will be getting my dick sucked.
Okay, so yes,
that's what makes it so incredible.
Okay, so you guys are sitting around one day, and your buddy brings it up, or you bring it up. Like, how does it all come about?
So we're diehard Padre fans. He's my best friend. He's also my roommate. We watch every single one of the games, and dude, we made the trade for Tommy Pham, and he's been kind of frustrating for us as a San Diego Padre. And I've always tried to be an optimist. I'm like, dude, just wait. And then Tommy Pham's about like 219, 220. Mm-hmm. And my buddy's just losing it. He's like, man, fuck Tommy Pham. This dude's absolute trash. I'm like, dude, come on, bro. You got it. And then my buddy just loses it. He goes, dude, I will suck your dick if he bats over 300. And me, as a guy, I mean, I'm a betting dude, and if someone's going to offer you free blowjob, and then there's nothing that you have to do on the alternate side.
So that was my question. It's not like if he bats 299 this year, you got to suck his dick. It's just like you either get a blowjob or not, or nothing.
Yeah, it's BJ or nothing, man. I can't wait.
And so he's raised his average like 50 points in the meantime, right?
Bro, literally, the day we made the bet, I think he went like 3 for 4, and ever since then, he's been on a tear. He's batting over
270. I mean, he's hitting 271
currently. He's got some work. I mean, we're almost in August, and he's got to raise his average like 25 points. But if he's already raised it like 50, that means he's batting – if you throw out the first chunk of the season where he's batting 219, he's probably batting like 330 right now to even make it come close. So
– I think you and Frank needed to do a bet like this for Lindor.
Oh, my God. I promise you this. I don't care if the bet is the sun will come up tomorrow. I'm not betting anything where I have to suck Frank Fleming's dick, okay? Because that is just – you just don't – I said a couple years ago if Pete Alonso goes for 50 and 120, I will come myself and jump off a bridge. He promptly broke the rookie home run record and did just that. I still have Mets fans yelling at me that I need to come myself and jump off a bridge or they're never going to win the World Series. So anytime you're involving – you know, you're making a bet involving coming or sucking – you know, you're rolling the dice, but I guess so first of all, Alex, if there's a chance, if somehow like game 162 he's batting like 299, or even if he's above 300 but it's right there, we want to do an electric chair with you guys. We want, because it would be unbelievable watching this guy because he's a Padres fan. So maybe who knows? Maybe there's like a division on the line, or maybe you want to win, but also at the same time you don't want Tommy Pham to get a hit because then you got to suck your friend's dick. So there's a lot of different dramatic storylines to be had there. So we want to do an electric chair if that's possible. But also, here's the million-dollar question: are you rooting for Tommy Pham to bat 300?
100%.
So you want to get your dick sucked by your friend?
I have to let it happen, man. I have to. There's no other way around it.
Bro, I completely agree with you. Yeah. Like, because you got to teach him. You can't welch on a bet. You made a bet, you lost. You got to suck a dick.
It's like the reverse of welching. It's like, well, I got to honor this bet. Like,
yeah.
You're to the victor go the spoils, but the spoils are kind of weird because it's going to be your friend's mouth on your dick.
Say the spoils are your friend's mouth.
So do you think you would even get hard for your friend to suck your dick?
I don't know. I think it's one of those situations where you just close your eyes and just put yourself into a different zone.
Mouth to mouth, man.
Dude, my hope is actually that you kind of can't, like you're drunk.
Oh, if this guy struggles.
But you make him go through it.
I want to see, bro,
got a blowjob, not my dick in your mouth.
Alex, what's your friend's name?
Carlos.
If I want Carlos to have a soft dick in his mouth, I want him to be trying to get you hard, trying to get you to come. Jackie's disgusted right now.
Just fucking pulling it like it's gum on it.
And I want Alex to be like, just a little more. It's almost there. Come on, keep going.
No, I can do it. I can do it.
I'll get there. Oh my God almighty. This is fucking, I mean, this is, forget about Shohei Ohtani. Forget about the rest of Slam Diego. The storyline of the year right now is Tommy Pham. Watch.
And I will promise you this. I will make sure Tommy Pham knows about this.
Oh, yeah. We need to get Tommy Pham to the point that, like, come September, every at-bat, he's like, boy, Carlos is fucked, man. I am dialed in, dude. Or every time he pops up, he's like, fuck, I'm doing, you know, Alex is not going to get his dick sucked. Tommy Pham's going to find out about this, and whether or not he wants to admit it, it's going to be in the back of his head every at-bat. This is one of the better storylines ever. So, Alex, we will be keeping up Tommy Pham watch.
This is some real time, like, grow the game stuff.
Yes. Yes. I want it to get to a point where, like, that fucking asshole Jeff Passan has to cover it. And be like, you know, according to several outlets, Tommy Pham, I mean, the potential is through the roof. So, keep us updated and let us know what Carlos is thinking. And we'll keep up on Tommy Pham watch. And come September. If there's a chance for some real dramatics, we'll have you guys do an electric chair, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. Thanks for everything, guys. Go Padres.
Beautiful. Hey, go Tommy. Like,
thanks for everything. Like, what? We ain't doing shit. You guys are sucking each other's dick. Oh, my God. It's amazing. All right. Let's get into top fives today. Completely switching gears here. Just because it popped up on our timeline. Anybody, if you ever have any suggestions for our top fives, want to see us list some things out, whatever it may be, tweet at us, post on Instagram, whatever. So top fives today are brought to you.
The High Noon El Prez Pack is here featuring my top four High Noon Vodka Seltzer flavors. These flavors include passion fruit, pineapple, pear, an all new flavor, tangerine, all made with real vodka, real juice. This 12-pack is only here for a limited time, so get it while you can. Just look for the pack with my face on it. You can even scan the QR code in the pack and have me virtually join your party. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find the El Prez pack nearest you.
Let me, real quick, just on the fly here.
Quick phone call.
Yeah, quick phone call. We'll see if he answers. Big Daddy's not the type to answer, but we'll see what Trent's got in store. He's probably like, fuck you. The man just does not, if he doesn't want to talk or text, he just doesn't do it.
I know, he's a hero.
It's amazing.
What's up?
Big Daddy, what's up, man? First of all, yes, the Henry Golding video is hilarious. I can't believe Instagram took it down because it's my balls. So how can you take down my balls? But
that's bullshit, man.
Secondly, we're on the podcast right now, and we got to talk about this sweet and sour sauce thing, man.
I've never seen it. Let me see this here.
What do you think about it?
It's really good. It's delicious.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So it's sweet and it's sour. That's good. Yeah, I just never seen it.
I think this is a bit.
This is a bit.
It's
not a bit. I always get barbecue sauce on my chicken nuggets.
I always get mustard. What's this ketchup thing? I can't believe this.
I've just never had it. I've never had it.
Yeah.
If you desire every fast food place in the world, Wendy's, Burger King, Sweet and Sour.
I get barbecue sauce with my chicken nuggets. That's it. It's all. That's the end of the story. When they ask what I want.
Your story has just been rewritten, my friend.
Okay. Because I'd actually like to talk about it because I'd like to clear a few things up.
Please do.
All right. So I know what sweet and sour sauce is.
Okay. The way it was wait, let me. So the way this was posed on Instagram was Frankie was like, I was eating my chicken McNuggets, dipping them in sweet and sour sauce. And Trent said to me, what is that? Like, as if you had like you were from a different planet and had never seen this. So, yeah, please clarify.
All right. So, yeah, we were at the airport. I had walked to the gate. We were on a connecting flight. We were in Chicago. We were headed back to New York City. I walked straight to the gate, didn't stop to get any food. Frankie stopped at McDonald's to get food, walked to the gate, sat down at a table with his chicken nuggets and his fries, and he took the top off of the sweet and sour sauce. So it was just an open sauce container. I walked over to him, and I took a chicken nugget, I took a fry, and I ate that. I didn't dip it in the sauce, but I looked down at the sauce, and I said, what is that? So looking at the sauce without the top on it, just looking down on it, I didn't recognize it. I've never got McDonald's sweet and sour sauce. I just get the barbecue every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked down and I said, what is that? And he's like, rawr, rawr,
yeah.
Rawr.
Frankie, short of maybe me overreacting about dumb things, Frankie is like the number one guy in the world you don't want to make this mistake with. What do you mean you don't know what's on? I'm going to kill myself.
It was already like a horrific travel day, and now I'm on trial because he thinks I don't know what sweet and sour sauce is.
So wait, McDonald's.
In reality, I just didn't see what it was.
Right, right.
Then our guy Avery started taking the video, and at one point, I sarcastically say, and it didn't land at all, I go, oh, it's sweet and it's sour, I get it. And people thought that I was like, I don't know what sweet and sour sauce is, when I was just being sarcastic. And then, like you're saying, it turns into a whole thing, and Frankie had tweeted about it before I even knew what was happening.
I think it was a setup, like you knew it was coming. So wait, there's barbecue, sweet and sour, and then isn't there three main sauces? Did I make that up?
McDonald's?
Yeah.
Sweet and hot mustard at it.
Yeah, but that's actually that's very good. But
would you say hot or honey?
Hot mustard.
Oh, wow. I think honey mustard's up there
too. Honey mustard might be up there. But my thing, I still might give you a hard time because if you know someone's eating McDonald's and the sauce is not the brown barbecue sauce, it's sweet and sour.
Yeah, I mean,
you still should probably know that. And the other ones, so I'm looking at them now. There is honey mustard, hot mustard, habanero ranch, tangy barbecue, creamy ranch, spicy buffalo, sweet and sour. Those, all the other ones you can basically throw out. It's honey mustard, sweet and sour, and barbecue. Maybe I'd allow you to mix up honey mustard and sweet and sour, but for the most part, you got to know that sweet and sour sauce.
It just really didn't look like it. Like, the sweet and sour that I'm used to is the sweet and sour that comes with crab rangoons, and it's got that, like, orangish look
yeah.
to it. And for whatever reason, from above, it didn't look like it, and then I just didn't know what it was, but I know what sweet and sour is. The narrative really got away from me because then Coley's tweeting about it and Clem's tweeting about it, and I just wanted to be like, I know what it is. I just didn't know what it was visually when I looked at it.
I got you. But it is crazy that I'm actually kind of on your side. I'm not a huge sweet and sour guy.
Oh, I think it's the best sauce. I think it's hands down the best sauce.
I actually just recently got into it. You know what's the hot mustard? Wildly underrated.
Literally never heard of it. Until
wildly underrated. If you put, I also, here's a take for you. I don't like chicken McNuggets. I like nuggets from other places. I think the McNuggets have a weird thing to them that weirds me out.
You want
to
hear something that's just downright psychopathic?
Yeah.
One of my best friends, a person you know, they get chicken McNuggets like 20 packs, they peel the skin off.
That's crazy, but the skin is the problem. It's weird skin.
Really?
It's weird skin. It's different skin. It's different than Wendy's.
It might be different.
Chicken nuggets are far and away the best fast food chicken nuggets. McNuggets are fine, but Wendy's are far and away the best.
Wendy's might just be some of the best chicken, period. Forget about fast food. Wendy's they're just chicken delicious nuggets, chicken. For sure, yeah. Now, if you get the chicken strips and shit, remember the selects?
I don't know if those
exist anymore.
But no, I don't think they do.
But see, that's my point. There was a different type of chicken that's different than the McNuggets, and it's different for a reason because it's better.
Is it the McNuggets? Isn't that like the pink paste? Wasn't that the thing that
it was? I think they have since like changed that, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Which
like,
is a
oh,
lie.
Yeah, bullshit.
Which means they stopped letting fucking news cameras into their factories.
Yes, exactly. Like, they were like, we just got hype.
Yeah, we fixed it. We fixed it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to clear that up. How were I think we were on episode 6 of Breaking 100 most recently.
Yeah, we're on episode 6, and then episode 7 will air on Thursday. It's me and Frankie playing at a place called Village of Sands Point out on Long Island. So if you want to check that out, it'll be on 4Play YouTube. It'll be on BarstoolSports.com. We're just moving. We're moving ahead. We're trying to break 100, and that's just the goal.
Trent, can I tell you something? I think it was Saturday night, maybe Friday night. I forget. One night I got, I don't know why I'm talking to the mic. You're not in the mic. But the Friday or Saturday night, I got pretty drunk. And I had a dream that night that you broke 100 with me for the first time. And I broke 100 because I don't even play golf.
Yeah.
And it was the two of us. We both did it together.
We might have to do that. That might have to be...
It might be the secret sauce. It might be the sweet and sour, baby.
Sweet and sour, dude. I think, you know what my nightmare for you would be? First of all, if you haven't watched Breaking 100 yet, go watch episode 5 first and watch the bunker incident because the bunker incident is like a scene from a movie. Like, you know when people talk about Bone Tomahawk where they chop the guy in half and they're like, you know that scene? You know
I'm
that
out. I'm
scene?
Out. I'm going home.
Like, you guys should have done reaction videos like 2 Girl, 1 Cup. Have bunker incident reaction videos to people just being horrified by what happened. So go watch that episode 5. What would happen? What if you broke 100 but, like, with no cameras and in an unofficial capacity somehow, some way? That would suck.
Well, no, that would suck. And that's why we're filming every single round.
Every time
you
play. Yeah, like, even if it's not, like, if somebody invites you out and they're like, yeah, you can come to it, but it's a very exclusive club, but you can't bring cameras. I'd be like, I'm not playing.
Yeah,
because well, that would be the day you break 100.
Or you make them film you the whole time.
Yeah, with the camera. You, yeah,
iPhone.
we're at the point now where we have to film every round that I play, and it's like almost a trap because I bet if I played just normally, like me and Frankie,
yep,
a couple other guys,
you'd
go
be better.
Out, it's just a relaxed day. I'd probably shoot like a 93.
Yep.
But now that all the cameras are out
the
there,
pressure.
And we have to film it. The pressure gets ramped up, my heartbeat goes up, mm-hmm, and I end up sometimes not doing it, but we have to film every round because, like you're saying, it's a nightmare if I break it and there's no cameras.
I have faith. I think episode, I'm going to call it now episode, what would you shoot last time?
105.
Oh, boy.
All right, he's close. And episode 5 was like 103 or 4. Something. I'm going to go episode, you're going to backslide in a week or two, and then you're going to do it episode 9.
Episode, okay. You think that early?
Mm-hmm. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. It's definitely coming. It's coming soon, so people should check it out. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do. Me and Frankie just go out and we try and do it, but it's coming. It's coming soon.
Trent, if I could make a suggestion, yeah, delay it a bit. Like, let's...
Oh, you want to milk this?
I want to get, like, free vacations in the winter. Like, get through the winter.
That's true.
Right?
Like, wouldn't that be the ultimate boondoggle if Trent could actually shoot, like, 89 and he's just, like, out here hacking away?
Yeah, like think about it. Like, if you fucking break it in August on fucking Long Island, you'd be like, would have been sick to be in the Bahamas in December.
Yeah, and you got to get these views, dog. You got to keep growing the brand.
It's funny because I was worried, so I went down and trained with John Tillery, who's my swing coach, down in Georgia for the first episode. And after I got done down there, I was like, I have the tools to do it. And I was worried that I was going to do it after the first episode or the second episode. And then as soon as I did those episodes, I was like, this could last until 2022. It's one thing to know everything and know how to do everything right. It's far, far different.
To do it.
It's far more difficult to go out and execute, yep, it. So it could be a while or it could be the next episode. Who knows?
All right. Keep it up. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Later, bro. All right, top fives. Today is top 5 SNL
cast members.
I was going to say characters, but no. Cast members. Who has the first pick? It's huge.
It is me.
That's bullshit, but okay.
No, it is. It was because you three last time was fuck for the top 5.
You're right. You are right. Okay.
But also, I don't think it's huge because I don't think I'm going to take who you're going to take.
Okay.
Although now I want to take who you're going to take. So I'm trying to think who you would take.
I don't even. I actually put myself in a pretzel, so I don't know who I'm going to take. I thought I had one in mind, and then you said that, and I was like, "Oh wait a minute, maybe it's not as clear cut." But now I don't know who you think I'm going to think. I'm thinking,
"Fuck, we're both fucked." Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am going to go. Oh, people are going to hate this so bad. SNL was a thing me and my dad did in the 90s. It was like when I was growing up, it was I got to stay up late watch SNL. That was like my reward for failing out of school. And I think those are obviously all the nostalgia. Those are all my characters.
And let's also say there are certain like
legends of SNL in the comedy world that people are like, how did you not pick this? And it's like, I don't know, man. I just like didn't watch that season or those episodes right. or whatever. So fuck off. But yeah.
All right. Okay, and this is all. This is not.
This dude is laboring over.
Yeah, it's hard because people are gonna get very. Yeah,
yes,
people
definitely.
Are gonna get, these are gonna be the meanest. Someone's gonna call me the N-word if I have the if I have the wrong tweet and answer.
These are the kind of things where I'm gonna be like, my favorite SNL member is this, and they're gonna be like, you cheated on your wife, you fucking loser. Dude, I just like that skit, man. Sorry.
Okay. I'm gonna go Farley. You can't miss pick. I will be honest. I wanted to go someone else, but I'm going that way so you don't call me the N-word.
So I was going to go with something else that I'm going to go with, and then Farley crept into my head as like, oh, wait a minute. I got to think about Chris Farley. There is no shame in the number one pick being Chris Farley, by the way.
No
shame in that game. The only reason I wouldn't, because my number one pick and my pick here is Will Ferrell.
That was going to be my pick, but I switched it because of you. You son of a bitch!
And I almost switched it because you got it to my head by saying it's not that clear. Because
I'll trade you one for one.
Nope. I'm going Will Ferrell because here's the thing. Chris Farley, motivational speaker, all that shit, living in a van down by the river, Schlitz beer. Actually, as I'm going through it, maybe it is the better pick. But when I think... My favorite parts of Chris Farley are his movies. I don't know, actually, now as I'm thinking about it, like he's got some classics.
Dude, but
my point is going to be, like, I think Chris Farley was great at SNL, and then he did Tommy Boy, and he did, like, his movies that were even better. Whereas I think you can make the argument that Will Ferrell's, Old School was my favorite, and he did a lot of movies, but a lot of them are kind of like duds. I think Will Ferrell's SNL shit is him at his best. I drive a Dodge Stratus. Like, he has some moments I think were probably peak Will Ferrell, where I think peak Farley might have actually come in the movies. I don't know. I mean, as I start to did you have best of, like, did you like
The DVDs?
Yeah.
Oh, though, yeah.
That's when you start to just rattle through their best skits all in a row. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, so that's what I'm thinking about with Chris Farley now. I'm like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Chris Farley's SNL.
But the thing is, too, Farley was such a physical comedian.
Yep.
And that's not really my favorite. Like, the Chippendale skit is probably his most famous. I don't really care for that one.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Yeah. Like, it's not. Right. Like, I don't think I've ever belly laughed at it.
Right.
I like the guy who was on Weekend Update with Norm MacDonald, where it's like, so I don't have good hygiene, so I don't own a toothbrush.
Yes, yes. I love the Chris Farley show. Like, remember that time you were in the Beatles? Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's just, like, so cringy. And then, I mean, Matt Foley's motivational speaker down by the river.
Matt Foley is
classic. Yelling, I live in a van down by the river on government cheese and all that shit is absolutely classic. But Will Ferrell, I think I just consumed the most of that. Because we were young, too, for Chris Farley. Whereas Ferrell was, like, more of our wheelhouse. And his Robert Goulet skits, I don't even really get it. Like, I don't really know Robert Goulet or why that's funny or why he did it, but it's so fucking funny.
Unbelievable.
Like, I don't know why he was ever like, I'm going to just do this Robert
Goulet. Dude, I liked him. But... I forget the actress he did it with, but the cheerleaders. That was, like, one of my favorites.
Spartan cheerleaders. I was a Spartan cheerleader. The only couple's costume I could ever tolerate. It was the Spartan cheerleaders.
You did it with
my college girlfriend.
No shit.
And I would do a couples costume now and give a fuck. But like back then it was like, you're a fucking pussy. You gotta dress up with your girlfriend in costume. But she was
you enjoy each other's company or something, fucking loser.
Yeah. Like I had some guy dressed as like the yellow M&M being like, you fucking loser. but she was like, let's do a couples costume. I was like, no, that's not cool. And then she pitched that.
Who was that?
Like,
who was it? Who's
Sherry O'Terry?
Sherry O'Terry. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But the lovers, the hot tub skit, lover. Have you ever seen his audition? His audition's amazing. Because I think he does the Dodge Stratus one where, you know, he's like yelling at his, or he's grilling. He's pretending to grill, and I think he's yelling at his family. But he walks up, it's just an empty stage, and he's like, hi, I'm like Will Ferrell. I'm like, okay. And he's pretending to grill and yelling, dead silent, no laughs. It's just like, you got to really be fucking good to like stick that with no comeback or
no laughter.
Right. Like this is funny. Bro,
if I started doing a skit and someone didn't laugh in the first 30 seconds, I'd be like,
I'm out.
I quit. I'm going to go be the plumber.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with either of them, but I just personally enjoy, like, I consumed Ferrell the most.
Okay.
Man.
Fuck, this is really hard.
It's really hard to go off top, too. I think we'll go Sandler. But Sandler was, again, I'm a 90s kid. Like I can already, like, RA is going to text me that I don't have Belushi in the top two. You going to take Belushi?
No.
Okay.
But
because he's also very physical. Like Farley had other things, but like Belushi's just, he's a little too physical for me.
I also I can't tell you Belushi skits off the top of my head. I don't know them. Like, I don't think I've watched them. I really don't. I mean, I don't know them that well.
I think about him. I don't like know 80s you're saying Farley SNL like well. The movies. I think about Animal House and shit like that.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers, but Sandler. I feel like we did something, and we've definitely come back around. But there was like a 15-year like stretch where we pretended Sandler wasn't fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And
well, he did put out some movies that were just like criminally stupid.
I understand. Yeah, but like yeah.
That doesn't mean he's not funny.
Yeah. It doesn't mean what he's done isn't funny.
Well, you know what happened too? Like the Billy Madison humor, where he's like doing silly voices, conditioner is better. Was super funny, and then Jim Carrey was doing it too. And then I think it like went away and we liked like you had to be more witty, Vince Vaughn type of humor. And now I think it kind of is back around again where it's like, I don't know, you're just goofy and silly and you do like dumb shit and it doesn't matter.
I completely agree. But I think the reason it went away is because he made it so popular, we just got sick of it.
Yeah.
Like so many like stupid people
everyone
were doing it.
Accents and
we're like,
and
you're
impressions.
Not fucking silly. Fuck right, off. Right, it's right. Sandler.
It does take a – I wouldn't find anybody else doing that kind of shit funny. But I do find him funny.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Jim Carrey doing like Ace Ventura type humor.
Right.
I would hate that from someone else, you know, but that was funny. Weird that Jim Carrey was such an In Living Color guy and never SNL.
Why?
Just because he's a monster. Like, you just figured... But it wasn't In Living Color was like the black version of SNL,
right.
How I always thought it. So, and he's not black, so I thought eventually he would have done
But I
also
was smart.
Like, yeah, he was like the one, you know, Fire Marshal Bill and all that shit. But he also did pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
That year, man, he did The Mask... Ace Ventura and another one. What's his other big one? It was all in the same calendar year.
Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber.
That was all in the same calendar year?
I think it was 94, all in like 1 year.
Shut up.
No, that was a little bit later, I think. I don't quote me on that, but I think quote me on that.
That's as hot a run as you can.
They were all like in 1 year or like 18 months or something like bananas where it was just like, oh yeah, he's top of the game.
I know 94 is like considered like the best
the movie year.
Yeah.
I will go with Norm MacDonald.
Ah, dude, he's so hit or miss with me too. We're like some stuff. I forget what Norm. He has like one rather viral clip of on a talk show. I think he's on Conan, and he tells like some story. And I can't even remember it, but it's just so fucking funny and it's so deadpan. But there's a lot of him that I think that it just doesn't
misses,
resonate with
me. Yeah.
I want to say miss because he's fucking Norm MacDonald.
It's
not
me. For you. Yeah.
But
yeah
it's just
yeah.
not my style.
I mean, him, his Celebrity Jeopardy with Will Ferrell.
Doing
Burt Reynolds doing the big hat. You know, it's funny because it's a big hat. It's bigger than a usual hat. Like that, he was just like himself with that like voice and that style too. I think he did Weekend Update for a while, right? So that was like, Weekend Update, I think, is like one of the only still surviving good bits. By the way, while we talk about SNL, just like to point out, as we all know, that SNL could have had Shane Gillis and had Tim Robinson for years. And he was writing like tons of skits. And as it was told to me, I don't know if this was an exaggerated number or a literal number, but the person told me that he only got like two skits on TV ever. They only aired like two of his skits. And maybe that was an exaggeration. And it's more than that, but it was still like they were not using him enough. So imagine if Gillis and Tim Robinson were doing skits every weekend right now. I mean, it would be like must-see TV. They can't miss. So, yeah, I'll take Norm.
All right. Number three, I'm going with Tina Fey. I actually think Tina Fey was the person who, like, got me into,
SNL?
Like, it really hooked me in. Because I thought she was so goddamn fucking funny.
Well, she's definitely part of, like, the second wave or third wave, depending on how much you watch. But, like... You know, after the Farleys and the Sandlers, I feel like it kind of died down. And then Faye was a big part of the later years.
Resurgence. Yeah. I mean, she was the head writer for a while,
right?
I think so. Yep. Weekend Update is, I agree with you, like, it's my favorite thing.
Yep.
And she was who introduced me to Weekend Update.
Yep. I'm going to go, may he rest in peace, Phil Hartman.
Oh!
Yeah.
Good answer.
I think,
but again, this is, I know his later stuff. I actually don't know much Phil Hartman on SNL.
I see. I kind of almost think the opposite. I think of SNL when I think he was like a obviously did well.
I think of what's Christmas movie?
Jingle All the Way. Yeah. So like he did Jingle All the Way. He was on news radio. He definitely has like had hits and success. But I feel like he was, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he was on for a long time. Like where a lot of guys like Stepping Stone and then blew up and they're gone. But I feel like Phil Hartman was there for a while doing a lot of skits. So,
can oh man, people are going to hate this one. Because I think the opposite of what we're saying. When people think of him now. Whoa. Blew those eardrums out, huh?
What is that?
My phone's attached to my computer.
We need to GIF and caption contest that. What noise is playing in the headphones right now?
I'm awake.
But my number four, and again, this is nostalgia based and yada 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 yada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually do think he's a cool guy. It's Jimmy Fallon, and I like I get the complaints about his interview style, which also I get very self conscious about because
we do that.
That's what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
I don't
know
about you, but like, I'm an overlaugher. I know.
Yep.
But the. But like his Nomar skits like killed me when
so
I was a
good.
Kid. Like they
so
were
good.
So fucking funny.
It's a Will Ferrell, the hot tub skit is with Jimmy Fallon. There's one where Will Ferrell and I think Kristen Wiig are like making out and being like over the top, and Jimmy Fallon is just uncontrollably laughing. Like
that
has
is,
no
I love
shot.
That one. He would break.
And like, as in SNL, it's like great. I think it's perfect. It's right. Like it makes it's live and you know it's not scripted and you're laughing. I think it was a good thing that he like couldn't and there would be guys keeping it like you know Will Ferrell just trying to get through the skit like keep it and he's just dying laughing. I some people will hate that pick, but I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I think like he was in the 90s. He was the king.
Yeah,
not king, but you know what I mean.
He was like that. He was probably the main guy of SNL for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it was maybe the dark years, but he was that dude. I'm going to go. This is my fourth pick.
Yes.
With I'm gonna go Bill Hader.
Are you?
Yeah. I think he was a good he was a like a bright spot in recent years where I think it was like SNL sucks, but except for Bill Hader.
I love Hader, and he also has, like, I honestly think this is one of the more, like, inspiring stories of all time. Not of all time, but, you know.
Yeah,
Anne Frank
was
pretty good, too.
kind of boring.
But it's, like more like a believe in yourself. Like, believe in yourself anecdote, which is him and Andy Samberg riding the elevator together. Mm-hmm. I've actually probably told you this, because I think it is, like, such a cool story. But him and Andy Samberg were both going to their audition at SNL. And Samberg had a bag full of props.
Mm-hmm.
And Hader was there, and he was like, what the fuck? He has fucking props. Stuff. Why don't I have any props? And later he learned Samberg was going, he doesn't even have props. What the fuck? And they
awesome.
Both went up there and crushed it.
Yeah.
Like, just be yourself. Do,
right.
do what you're good
Different
at.
Different types of humor. Yeah, for sure. That's unbelievable. That's great. When is...
Barry?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did that get fucked because of COVID?
Shoot
it? I feel like it's about time for that next season, bro.
Oh, it's my turn. Five.
Fifth and final.
Five is going to be...
I mean, there is a monumentally important person that I don't think either of us are going to pick, and people like Rear Admiral are going to go absolutely apeshit over it. But I might...
Someone other than Belushi? Five.
Yes.
Man, I don't fucking know.
There's a few. Hmm?
Nah, Carell?
No.
No. Eddie Murphy, yes. Yeah. But I just like...
I know,
I
know.
Tell
if
you
I'm
one...
being honest, it depends. How are we doing top fives? Are we doing like what I think or if we're trying to assemble like the best fucking arguments
no, I'm doing
made?
My personal
Right, that's
favorites.
What I mean.
Like,
If I were to round out my last pick, if I wanted to make the best squad, I would pick Eddie Murphy. Right. I don't know. I know the Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood and I know a couple
I was
going
to say,
things.
Like... Chris Rock, I'd love to take. I couldn't tell you a character.
Well, I don't think he was on for that. Like, I don't think he had that much an illustrious SNL career, did he?
I don't think so.
But that's the point. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, he was on it. But
I read in college. I read the book. I read a book. Just one. and it was just about like it was about Farley, and it was just like letters from friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Rock had like he was talking about his time on SNL with Farley, and He had a line that I thought was so weird where he's like, I remember watching them film Chippendale skit. And I was like, that's the day we lost Chris. I knew that day he was going to die. And I was like, why? Because he was a fat guy acting fat? That seemed like a little overdramatic.
Yeah.
Because he, like, he said he was like
maybe
so,
he looked so big?
Offensive. And like, not offensive, obviously.
Like, I didn't realize how fat he was until I saw that sort of thing?
No, no. I think it was just like that was the day, like, I forget exactly how his tone was. Yeah, and stuff
weird
like that,
though.
But it was like, oh, yeah, he's going to like go off the deep end now because we did this. But I'll go fucking... Okay, I got... Because of Weekend Update, I said Seth Meyers?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're still good then.
Okay.
He was on my list, but no, that's not it. Yeah.
And I actually don't care for Seth Meyers' show now.
Yeah, it's not very
but,
good.
But I love Seth Meyers on Weekend Update.
I'm thinking... So while acknowledging that Eddie Murphy is like probably the biggest fucking comic to ever go through SNL, like, yes, I understand that. There's a ton of others. I mean, Dana Carvey was a huge one.
Oh, I love Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey's a huge one. I'm thinking about that. I loved, I thought when I was really watching, Daryl Hammond was like the impressions guy. Like, he did all the really good impressions. But I think if you're drafting a team, it's like, all right, I need the impressions guy. I need the Weekend Update guy. I need this and that. Like, Daryl Hammond would be my impressions guy.
Another inspiring story. Someone asked him how he got so good at impressions. He said he'd get a bottle of whiskey and just watch that person. And then just sit there
just
and get
figure it out.
Drunk and watch TV.
I still
and
think.
I was like, what a guy. I was like cool. Seven. I was like, that's what I want to do.
Because he did Clinton so well during that era. Clinton was so important. Yeah. And he did. There was someone else that he did tons of people, but there was Clinton and one other person that I thought he like.
Dana Carvey, church lady.
Ah. So
dude, I remember when he was interviewing Anne Hesh and he was trying to ask her like she wants a taco or a hot dog, and he's like, well, just figure it out. You can't keep wondering. Which, by the way, probably wouldn't be okay today.
I was going to say, lady, can't do that.
But then also you go to the other things where you're like, oh, I just wouldn't find that fun anymore. I don't think like turtle. I don't think that
dumb
one would hit for me anymore.
But it was funny at the time for some reason. I'm going to go though. I'm going to go recent. That's a little tip of the cap because they're like the only guys still doing it. I think I'm going to take Michael Che.
Great one.
Che and Jost, I think, are a great duo of Weekend Update that can like not, you know, I'm not going to take them number one as my Weekend Update duo, but they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. And then recently, the most recent joke swap to end this season.
Yeah.
I mean, and Michael Che is playing dirty because he can do the racist jokes and Jost can't. Jost is doing like you have tiny dick jokes and Che is doing like KKK jokes. Like, oh, you're getting blown out of the water. But Michael Che, I'll take as my modern day guy.
I think Che's, I don't know if it's his most recent stand up, but the one where he's in the yellow sweatshirt, I think is one of the more like underrated stand-ups of
I don't remember what he's wearing, but I think we're talking about the same thing. Because is he in like a – he's kind of like in a – he's not like a stage.
It's not a stage. Room. Like, it comes
he's
out
circular
a
almost. He's kind of
like a stage Gaga would design. Yes, yeah, yes, it comes out for sure.
That is some of the most like low-key just talking to you and just like spitting fucking jokes and facts that are hilarious. All right, so let us know and get outraged about Eddie Murphy and John Belushi and, you know, all that shit. I don't care about those. I'm worried that there's, like, someone I genuinely like that I miss. Who would you take, Nick? Anybody we missed?
I'm trying to think off the top, but there is one skit that, like, I would have picked Rachel Dratch just for Debbie Downer.
So,
Debbie Downer, the rest of it.
On 30 Rock, she's like... Like, I forget what she is on 30 Rock, but her character just annoys me, so I write her off now.
Did you guys say Sandberg?
We mentioned him with
because
Hader,
like,
but
because, like, the digital
Lonely
shorts,
Islander,
the,
yeah.
The digital shorts, like, at, like, 40 million. I went through, like, a
that is
I went through
true.
A wormhole and, like, was watching, like, Dick in the Box and, like,
yeah.
Mother
yeah.
Lover.
Dick
and those
in the
are
Box
fucking
and
amazing.
I Just Had Sex and all those are...
Mitch Sudeikis?
I actually don't like Andy Samberg, though. I never...
I
never
it
cared
depends
his,
on character. Like, I mean,
I love his new movie.
One of my favorite recent movies is Palm Springs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a great, great movie. But yeah, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I don't. It doesn't.
Which
hit for
like
me.
People love. And I got canceled. Yeah. It was a big deal.
Also, like you could have said Kenan Thompson if he's been on the show for like 80 years.
Yeah, I was watching.
I feel like that. I feel like that's almost an indictment.
His Steve.
Yeah,
his Steve Harvey
is
hilarious. So.
That is very funny.
Yeah.
He's, and I love Kenan, but I almost feel like the fact that he hasn't left.
I mean, he went from all that to SNL. He's like, this is all he's ever done.
Yeah,
you know? And he does it well. I was watching a clip of Kenan and Kel the other day. The tuna one, you know what I'm talking about?
The tuna one.
He said it was like
You watching the Keenan and Kel clip the other day?
Yeah.
How?
Dragonfly Jones had retweeted it.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, he was on trial, and it was just Kel. Like, you want to talk about an indictment? At least, like, where did Kel go?
Yeah.
At least Keenan.
I think he's back doing all that again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I know there was like a rumor that he, shit. Like, died of an OD, but...
There really was some. It was Kel yelling. I think he said, I put the screw in the tuna. He was on trial for like, there was like a something in the tuna. And it's the whole skit is just him screaming, I put the screw in the tuna. And he yells to the judge and he yells. I mean, that's it. The whole skit. And it was like, is what the fuck? I mean, not really.
Oh, but, okay. I thought I don't understand why it was funny, but it was.
Well, the tweet was like, we thought this was the peak of comedy. And I mean, I don't remember that specific one, but I do remember Keenan and Kel, and I do remember all that. But they were, you know, they were like kids doing like ridiculous skits, yeah. And then Keenan just kept doing it as a fucking adult. So he's been doing
orange soda.
Yeah, like even that. Like, Good Burger, welcome to Good Burger. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Someone
tried to show me it late in life, and not I was great. Like, this doesn't no, work. Doesn't
I'm sure it. It's not very good. Just like Space Jam, I'm sure.
I mean, the Space Jam outrage is just like, it's
like
crazy.
40-year-old men are like, this movie's not good. Like, well, yeah, it's a children's movie.
Like, come on, guys. Come the fuck on. Now, I've heard that it's like the product placement is like overwhelmingly obnoxious. If you want to talk about that, like critique in a movie where it's like one giant commercial, okay. But if it's not a good, like, slapstick Looney Tunes cartoon, I mean, also, if you go into it with, like, I thought that's like, Looney Tunes is funny, and this is not a funny version of it, fine.
Right.
But these people are going into it, like, this wasn't worth, like, you know, my date night with, like, my girl or something. Like, yeah, I don't know. You probably shouldn't watch the fucking children's movie. Get the fuck out of here.
By the way, what you just said, product placement, it reminded me of this morning when I was getting on the ferry. A bunch of us came stay down at our house this weekend. And so me, Nate, Liz, Donnie, someone else, I forget, came back on the boat this morning. And as we're getting on the boat, I had a water bottle in my back pocket. And Liz goes, is that a Crystal Pepsi? And I was like, is this a drink that they stopped making in 1996 that I'm drinking at 6 a.m. on a Monday?
Also, like, like... It's people drink bottles of water all the time. like if it was a...
It was just a regular bottle of water.
If you had like an orange drink and she said, is that orange soda? And you were like, no, it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a very obvious, real, correct answer. It's the most popular drink in the world, yeah. Bottled water.
Just is in that my a bag
Crystal Pepsi?
Like, when did Crystal Pepsi stop being made?
You don't even know? Yeah. Do you know what Crystal Pepsi is? Yeah. There was a time... You don't know? Yeah, of course not. They made Pepsi... Like look like Sprite. It was just clear instead of black. It was called Crystal Clear.
1994.
I was so discontinued. I actually think I said 94 when I talked to her. I changed it to 96. I was like, did you think this is a drink that they stopped making in 94? No, no.
And then they did like a reboot at some point, relatively recently. I think they tried to bring it back.
Do you remember Pepsi Blue? I remember that shit.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
But Crystal Clear Pepsi was I remember so vividly. This is how old it was. It was Van Halen Right Now was the commercial.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and that was like, it was out at the time. And like, that was the jam. And it was like, Right Now is the time for Crystal Clear Pepsi. Like, get a refreshing Crystal Clear Pepsi. And it bombed so hard because it's like drinking milk when you think you're getting OJ. You know what I mean? It was just like, Sprite. No, Pepsi. Yeah, no, so weird.
My family bought all of the racks. So I still have a
You have
of
them?
No, I don't. No, the Pepsis, the Crystal Clears.
What?
Some of the Crystal Clear Pepsis.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we didn't actually buy them.
Well, because I know there was a dude, the L.A. Beast, I think is his name. He does, like, food challenge YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
And he got off of eBay, he bought a Crystal Clear Pepsi from 1994 and opened it up and drank it. And he
went for $9 right now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think we should get it and put it on the...
I think they brought it back this summer.
Yeah, I want to say it was very recently.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe she's not that crazy then.
No, but that's not what she was thinking. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
But also, this dude,
he opened it up. It was also one of those, the glass grenade-shaped ones,
you know what I mean?
They were like a pint or something
like
that.
Like Orangina.
Yes. Yeah. And he took it one sip, puked everywhere.
The buying pallets of drinks... you want to hear the least surprising thing in the history of the world is that when Four Loko was going out of business, Gaz bought like all of them.
Yeah.
Like, dude, Gaz's bedroom at his old apartment, like back in Austin, like, it was just, there was a full stack of
original Four Locos until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years after they stopped serving them.
Just keep drinking them?
Yeah. I think Gaz would probably just give them to other people. I don't think
it was
he
like
would
Jeter gift baskets. Yeah. Fuck a girl and like taking an original Four Loko with
Four
you.
Loko?
Shout out to Gaz and his abs, bro.
Yeah.
Six pack Gaz. Six pack sales guy. Unbelievable. All right. Voicemails are brought to you by
Hockey is on. And no matter the city, no matter the team, no matter the game, whether it's face-off or penalty shots, regular season or playoffs, win or lose, no matter what happens, no matter where it happens, New Amsterdam Vodka is there.
Let's do our voicemails. What do we got? Okay, so instead of starting off with the voicemails today, we've got our new summer intern, Mike, has, I guess, what is this, a recording of his buddy or something like that?
Yeah, it's my buddy's buddy. It's his first day on the job.
Okay, so his first day on the job as a cold caller, and I guess we got audio of it, and I'm sure he's terrible at this.
Hello, how may I help you?
Hey, I was looking to speak with the owner of. Is that you by chance?
Depends. Who are you? How can I help you?
My name is.
I thought it was funny.
No, okay. So, yeah, hey man, I'm with. Have you heard of us before, man?
Dude, you suck at your job. You suck. You're horrible.
Shut up.
You need to like why don't you play pretend with the mirror with a friend or you know, a classmate or one of your gay boyfriends or something.
Hey, come on. Hey, you made me laugh when you
Hey, come on now. Pull that dick out of your mouth. Pull it out. Pull it out.
This is downright homophobic.
Is it too loud?
You gotta prepare. Or pull the dick out of your ass.
Jesus.
You suck, dude.
You suck, dude.
Jesus, what's he got to do with it? You suck at this job. Run away.
Oh,
you're
my
horrible.
God.
Hey, man.
You suck.
Hey, man, your website looks pretty off to me.
I'm your website! You're looking at my website. You want to look at my cock? You fucking
Oh, well, I called it.
No, this is... Dude, we have to replay that call, bro. Oh, my
what
God.
The
that guy was insane.
Fuck. What? Yo, that guy absolutely has or is going to murder people. That guy has some anger issues.
Like he's like yelling at your buddy like he's like his 30 years into the career. Like, you're just fired. You're like, yeah, no, it's a summer job, man.
Well, also,
you leave me the fuck alone.
He didn't, you know, he wasn't the greatest off the top.
He was right until he started dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, he wasn't very articulate. He didn't like get to it. He chuckled weirdly, but then
look, a nervous laugh is a guy who does a lot of nervous laughs.
Totally a normal.
Right away, where you call me on that?
Right.
Come on.
But I mean, that was outrageous. The dick out of your mouth. No. Take the dick out of your ass. Practice with your little boyfriends.
Dude,
you...
when he was gone.
Jesus.
Jeez.
That is so good.
Gee. Oh, we got to get Rudy in here.
Yeah.
That made me think of Rudy. We'll do that on Thursday. We'll do that Thursday episode.
Okay.
He goes, jeez. Like, dude, I don't give a fuck about your website. Jesus Christ.
That guy
absolutely beats people in his family. Yeah. That guy kicks the dog. That guy's an abuser.
That dude has children to kick the shit out of him.
I'm getting tired of this one. We got to have another one so I can beat that one, too.
A new toddler smack around.
Jesus. That is...
Oh, the way he delivered that. So, it's what, so good.
Did your boy just come home and he was like, yo, you'll never understand the day I had to work?
Yeah, it's my buddy's buddy, so I think that he just gave up after that. I'm not sure. I think that it's over for
him. Dude, that would be I'd probably end up like milking that one. I'd be like, I'm like suing this company. You subjected me to abuse.
Bro, I would call that guy back every day.
We should get that guy's number. Yeah. We should get that guy's number. We'll do callbacks and just torture him.
See, your website's looking a little messy. My website? What are you talking
about? Dude. I actually want to get that guy's number and sick the stoolies on him and ruin his life. Yeah. Ruin his life. Just every night in the middle of the night have someone call him and go, take the dick out of your ass.
Dude, wow. The life of like cold calling, I know that's the only reason I work here is because my dad wouldn't give me a job because he was like, and it wasn't his company, but he was like, he's like, look, I can get you like a job at the call center.
You don't
he's
want
like,
that.
But you're gonna be a cold caller and you're gonna kill yourself in 3 weeks.
And I was like, all right, I cannot fathom anyone ever having success at a cold call. No. like it has to work.
Well,
right?
You hit lonely people. And they're like, oh, like think I have someone to talk to.
I guess, right? But then they pay money. And then they're like, yeah, I'm so lonely. I'm gonna talk to you, and then get my credit card out.
I guess, yeah, right.
I can see like the boiler room shit where you call up like unsuspecting people and be like, I can make you $5,000 right now, and you're desperate, and you're just like, okay, sure, what is it? And, like, it's a penny stock or whatever.
Yeah.
But like this, you know, we just need to update your website. I mean, I guess you just get lucky every now and then where it's like, you know, I need a website, and lo and behold, the phone rang, and like, here you are. I might as well just take you.
I forget what the company he said was. I think we're gonna bleep it out anyway. Yeah. But like when he was like, have you heard of us? Absolutely not. As someone who works on the internet and does,
yeah,
like,
I was gonna say that, absolutely that's, not. You know, it's not like he said, like, have you heard of like monster.com or something? It's just like, no, your bullshit company. I've never fucking heard of it, man. Get out of here. Wow. Well, to all the cold callers out there, if you got any, I'm sure if he could dig up his recording, I'm sure other people can. If you've got apps. Like, you were just like, man, this guy's so mad. Jesus Christ. This guy really, really hates me.
He's like getting exhausted. Like, jeez.
My friend actually sends it to me on the day that I'm starting here. He's like, you excited for your day tomorrow? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, look how my buddy's first day. Yeah, just like, can't go any worse than that.
Like, yeah, seriously. Like, be thankful you got that gig instead of this shit. If you've got cold call classic audio recording, send it our way. It's got to be good. But if you've got a moment that stacks up to jeez.
Can I hear one more time, please? Can I hear one more?
Like, Jesus.
You're looking at my website. You want to look at my cock?
Jeez. Like, I don't even know what to say to this. Like he's thinking, like, there's nowhere in the binder. There's no page to turn to react to. Yes. Jesus. So good. Run it back.
I'm going to throw up.
And prepare or pull the dick out of your ass. Jeez. You suck, dude.
Jeez. Dude,
I have a stomachache and I'm crying. Jeez.
How old are you, Mike? How old is he? You got the same age?
22.
Jeez.
Pull the dick out.
That's got to be the most entertaining day in cold calling history. Like, I almost hope that. I wish that if I was a cold caller, I wish that like once a day I could close someone and once a day I'd get that. Yeah. Jeez. All right, next up.
Oh, God. What's up, guys? I'm a bit speechless right now. I just hit a goose. I mean, I smashed it, obliterated it. This thing just went into a cloud of feathers after I hit it. I felt the car go right over it. I feel a little bad right now.
Dude.
But I've got a serious question for you. Am I the asshole in this? I mean, this flock of fucking geese just flew right in front of me. No chance for me to move. Bird flew right in front, slammed, or, you know, landed, started walking, didn't scatter as I got a little closer, and I just crunched it, like I said.
felt like I was going over a speed bump. I mean, I had my daughter in the back. Jeez. It was raining. I didn't want to slam on the brakes and risk hydroplaning. So I kind of just let it go, and I'm a goose murderer, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So am I the asshole for this? Or is this, this fucking goose? Because I think it's the fucking goose.
Dude, I didn't know what he said at first. I thought he said, I hit a goof. And that was some sort of phrase like, I fucked up. I hit a goof.
Yeah.
And I was like, what'd you do? I hit a goose.
Just fucking feathers everywhere.
The way he describes it, like there's hitting geese, and then there's this guy. He's like, I mean, I just obliterated this thing.
Dude, when he goes, but I got a serious question. I was hoping it's going to be a completely new topic.
So who do you think built the pyramids? Yeah. Oh man! I mean, this is famous Costanza. We had a deal. You know, we have a deal. You get out of the road. You get out of the fucking way. What's the point of having fucking wings and the gift of flight if you're just going to waddle your ass on the fucking street and get crunched by a car?
No, it's the goose. The goose. Yeah, you gotta move.
That might have been goose suicide for all we know.
The Native Americans could hear horses coming from everywhere. If you're on the street, you should feel a car coming far away. But
Native Americans.
You're
right. I just
I know.
You invoked the Native American name. Okay. Yep.
But there is
that's the famous joke. Buffalo come.
What?
Like, yeah, there's some, I don't know the whole setup, but, you know, this guy and this Native American put their ear to the ground. And he says, buffalo come. He says, really? You can hear them? And he goes, no, sticky.
I heard that. but the, I'm just kidding. Not a goose. I hit a raccoon, I believe it was, and it is to this day the most horrifying thing that's ever happened to me, because it was at night. I was driving through Westport, Mass, which is like a kind of a little out there. It's where my parents live now, but at the time I lived in Fall River. And it's kind of a little country. Mm-hmm. And I was just driving down a dark road late at night. And it stood up on its back legs and put its hands up like oh,
stop!
No!
Stop!
And I fucking smoked. It's
like chest and head hit your front, your grill. Like,
right in my legs. I saw the fear in its eyes.
If that raccoon could talk, it would have said like, no, bro, I have a family. Yeah.
Like we made eye contact. And I was like, dude, it's too late. I can't stop anymore.
And you know raccoons have those little human paws.
They were up. They were up like, no!
And like the little fingers out.
And I fucking probably beheaded the thing.
I've always wondered that. When you see roadkill like on the side of the road, does that mean they get hit and then they limp to the side? Or do they just like skid across the road? I don't know.
No, he just hit it.
But then they like, you know, like how do they get to the side of the road?
I guess.
You know, like in the shoulder. I feel like that must be like they get hit and they're still alive and they limp.
I like to think that they almost made it.
Yeah.
Every time. There's...
I mean, how fucking dumb you gotta be to be roadkill? I mean, you're a real fucking asshole.
Oh, I disagree.
I mean, just don't go out there, man.
Okay, good point. Counterpoint. I was gonna say it's on us for building interstates through...
No.
Woods and stuff. We'll just don't go.
No, if we went off-roading and ran through them, then, you know, we're the assholes. Like, we built a road, there's a ton of traffic, and you decided to just try to cross this road? Yeah. Like, wait till there's no cars coming. Learn how to cross the road,
right? Left, you fucking bitch.
Come on. Red light or some shit, man. I don't think I've ever hit anything. Because I'm a good driver.
Oh, I've hit things.
Jackie's like, do humans count? Jackie, you have any roadkill? Yeah, Grandpa. Yeah.
He was super dramatic about it. You know what I hate hitting? I think that's the only alive thing I've ever hit. But I hate hitting things that are already dead.
Yeah, and you just...
But you feel it through them.
Yeah, and you just eradicate them. They're just like flesh flying. Yeah, no, it's gross. I mean, you know, if you hit a big enough thing, like we were talking about that Great Dane I almost hit, or like a moose, like they fuck you up, man. You hit them and your car's wrapping around that shit. You know what I learned?
By the way, do you know what? My cousin got hit by a car. And it is real that like your shoes do fly off.
Really?
Like his shoe went flying.
Yeah. Is he okay?
It was awesome. Yeah, he's fine. I think you met him. Like he's good.
All right. I learned, I was listening to the Whitney Cummings podcast. You know, she's like an animal freak.
Yeah.
And she was using it kind of as a metaphor. It's an interesting one. Kind of saying like when you're about to like get in a fight, whether physical or like verbal, like you got to like keep calm and, you know, fight the reflex to like jump or go at them or whatever, you know. And she talked about moose and grizzly bears try to take down moose and they charge them and the moose just waits and waits and waits. It's like William Wallace, like hold, yeah, hold, hold. And at the last second, they just put their back foot out and the fucking grizzly bear just runs into it and just like just fucking breaks its whole body.
Really?
Into a moose leg. And they just sit there and they're just like, eating, doing whatever moose do. And they're like, come get some. Come get some. And at the last second, pow.
They got,
because they say,
they got, those,
you know, you're not supposed to run, right?
From anything.
Well, from like prey runs.
Yeah, you gotta get
think
big.
About it. Yeah, yeah. But I don't even know if that really works. It definitely but I think.
Because like, imagine fighting a little person.
And they just go, rawr!
Like, well, I'm still way bigger than you.
But
I'm just
gonna kick your ass. If they did that, I would be like, you're a little person trying to scare me. But if I went up to a little kid and I was like, I'm about to fuck you up. And they were just like, yeah, come get some. I'd be like, wait a second. This thing is fucked. This little kid is scary.
Is this like Habib's brother? What's his name?
Hasbulla.
Hasbulla.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, wait a minute. Maybe he's not a little kid. Maybe
try it, bitch.
Yeah. Come get.
Never mind.
Exactly. If a little kid was like, come get some, you fucking, like that guy, fucking F word, I'd be like, all right, never mind, bro. Jesus. Let's do one more voicemail, and then we got Camille. Time to get some therapy.
Speaking of therapy and therapists, where's our pet, our class pet?
Yeah, where's Richard?
Well, you guys said no.
No, we said yes. We then said yes got, to all of them.
Then you guys said
that
you were going to like abuse this animal.
Well, no, we said it was going to be on a farm and it was going to get beheaded. But
we were going to let it free range. We're going to let it roam.
Okay, well then, if I bring
maybe
in,
put one,
if
made,
I
one
bring
of asses,
in a gerbil on Wednesday, are you guys going to complain?
Nope, not at all. Might kill it, but not going
to
complain.
Nick, am I allowed to bring in a gerbil?
I believe the rules were you have to take care of the gerbil and keep it at your house.
And you are the person who puts things in your
butt,
so.
I believe the rules were we were each going to switch off weeks.
Oh, that's definitely not the rule. Again, I have humans.
We were all going to switch off. You think I'm bringing a gerbil to my goddamn house?
I feel like
I
forgot to run that by you guys, but that was my idea. Was like we each take
a
week.
Yeah, you definitely forgot that part. here's the deal. There's 52 weeks in a year. You will take care of the gerbil for 52 weeks.
Shake on it.
Deal?
Deal.
You just got yourself a gerbil. Yeah. Sold. You can bring it in every now and then. Richard can hang out here. We'll scare some guests.
It's also, I thought about it, like dick. Like in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Dick in the ass. Dick in the ass. Yep. How was your weekend, Jackie? Jackie, how many days were in this weekend? Let's say there was Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. How many times did you sleep at your apartment? How many times did you sleep at your apartment? How many days? One?
Zero.
Zero.
Well, that was...
Okay.
Yes.
And how many times did you sleep in the Barstool office?
Okay.
The answer is two, folks. The answer is two.
I don't even want to go over it.
The answer is
two. But the last one was because I was working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sleep here because I was working until 4 a.m. So that one checked out. The first one wasn't exactly the same scenario.
What happened? You just thought it was a good idea to come sleep here?
I wish I knew, but
You have roommates now, too, no?
I know.
Weren't they, come home with us?
I think that I just... Because I don't think I brought keys out, and so I think I was just, like...
Stranded?
I need somewhere to sleep.
Yeah.
And then I guess I woke up here, but it was funny because, like, my...
Were you
like,
in the studio or were you just, in the office?
I was in the green room. It was like I had a fantastic night's sleep. Both nights.
I bet the green room is really quiet.
That's, and yeah. It's the place to sleep if you're going to sleep here. I've done it several times. Yeah, not after a night out. Well, actually, that's
don't tell Kelly Martin, she'll kill you.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like,
don't tell anybody, aka don't tweet about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I texted Jackie. I was like, you will be on the next episode of the Dave Portnoy Show.
Yeah,
if you keep
I didn't
this
think
up.
About that. I didn't think about that, but I woke up and it was also funny because I don't think I really fully remembered going there, but like it was black. It was like all black or mm-hmm. pitch black, and like my room was pitch black because like I don't have a window. And so for 5 minutes, I like thought that it was in my room, oh, and then wow. I like woke up and I was like, "Oh my god,
what
am I in the office?"
What time did you wake up?
It was like 9.
And so that was Sunday morning.
This was Saturday morning.
Okay, so did nobody here?
Nobody was here. No, thank God.
That would have been so funny.
I also like how we've, thank God no one was here to see that. And then Jackie, delete that tweet to your, I don't know what, we had 10,000 followers?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll tell it on the podcast, though. Yeah. We'll tell it to a couple hundred thousand people.
In my defense, I did like a no comment sign, and you guys made me do it.
So. Lesson learned, right? Yeah. Lesson learned.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Last voicemail, let's go.
What's up, KFC? I was just listening to your most recent podcast. You guys were talking about sponsoring a chicken. I think that's hysterical. And I think I can help you. I got 6 chickens at my disposal that live in my house. They're all female, so they all lay eggs and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that'd be awesome and both hysterical if you guys wanted to sponsor a chicken. So I got 6, so let me know if you want one.
Do you want to do the gerbil or the chicken or both?
Let's okay. Well,
sponsor a chicken.
What does sponsoring a chicken mean?
We buy it and we, you know, raise it.
Okay, but how much is that going to cost us?
Well, I think because
I'll do all 6. I think we can afford all 6, right?
I think we can afford all 6. Can Jackie take care of 6 chickens? Is the question.
Oh no! I'm saying he takes care of it.
Oh, you want to sponsor it like the same way my brother sponsored that? Yeah.
It's like the seal I own.
Yeah,
and also the tree I own in the rainforest
and the moon, the star.
I have a star. Exactly. Yes.
I feel like this whole thing is like backfire. Like I sure feel like did, now Jackie. I just put work.
Yeah.
But you got the whole
An
point. All was time like,
bad decision for you.
You guys also like, it's a team effort.
No,
it's your job.
You're the director of morale. Like, you're supposed to be director. Gassing us up.
Yeah.
The way that you're gonna gas us up is give me a chore.
Yes, yeah, that's not gonna work. I think I need more work in my life.
but then what's like? So now I'm just like. Raising a gerbil on the side.
And 6 chickens. Yeah.
I didn't hear the voicemail.
Yeah, no, we're getting 6 chickens. We're getting 6 chickens. 6 chickens and a gerbil. You telling me that can't be like an internet series called 6 Chickens and a Gerbil? You see the new episode of 6 Chickens and a Gerbil? It's amazing.
Yeah. And, by the way, I think Henry would have loved it if a gerbil was running.
Oh, sure. And 6 chickens.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this is straight out of this is Cramerica Industries in Seinfeld. Like, as far as I can tell, this company is nothing more than a solitary man living in an apartment that may or may not contain a chicken. That's all we're doing here.
Imagine if like the rest of our podcast had just a bunch of shit in the background. Like, can you get him to shut up, Jackie?
Jesus, there's a fucking show going on here.
Take care of your goddamn kids.
I'm just picturing, you know, chickens can fly for like 2 seconds, and Jackie's just chasing them while they glide through the air. Feathers are going everywhere. The gerbil's getting attacked by the chickens. Morale's never been higher.
They're all just pecking him apart. Like, Jesus, Jackie! I'm gonna put him in my ass tonight.
Like, you know shit's getting weird. You come in, Jackie's chasing around 6 chickens, but the gerbil's nowhere to be found. Like, uh-oh. We know where the gerbil is.
Nick's kind of waddling after one chicken.
Come to KFC Radio, man. We got a whole team now. There's like 6 humans, 6 chickens, and a gerbil.
Try and find it.
That'd be a game. Everyone sits at a table, and you got to keep a straight face and find out which person has a gerbil in their hands. Like, Mike is squirming over there, bro. Mike looks really uncomfortable today.
Imagine that was just one episode. Everyone who works on this show now sitting at this table quietly.
Eventually, someone's just like, oh, God damn it.
He bit me! He bit me!
Goodness gracious. All right. Camille Kostick joins the program now. And I mean, yeah, well, we're going to take you up on that offer for the chickens, bro. Yeah. Camille Kostick's on the show. It's brought to you by 3G.
Send us a price. Let's negotiate. Call us back. We'll call him back.
No, I mean,
live
the price
time.
Is zero. You're donating the chickens to the show, dude.
Like, no, I want to care for it.
Oh, it's one of those things like you got
like,
to buy
it
to value it.
How much does it cost to raise a chicken?
Yeah.
Like, I'll pay for it. No, they don't eat eggs. They lay them.
they eat that like seed.
Yeah. Okay. How much for the dirt a chicken eats?
Can't be much.
It can't be much. Can't be much. I think I have like $10 in my pocket. Should cover the lifespan.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Let's talk to Camille Kostick on KFC Radio. There she is.
Oh, nope, never mind.
Now she's, back. What's up, gorgeous?
Is there even anything to talk about anymore with us? I need to retire.
Wait, no, I have things to talk about. Where's our relationship stand right now, you and I?
Wow.
Like, are we still engaged?
Are we like on right
yep,
now?
Yep.
Oh, hi. Where's our relationship? Are we still engaged? I didn't break it off.
The longest engagement of all time. We're going on like 5 years now.
No, I'll get you a real ring soon. That's okay.
Wait, I forgot that we're supposed to get like married.
That's usually how it works. Yeah.
It just feels good right here.
Yeah, no, I like that. I agree with you.
That's what engaged couples say when they're doubting it. You know? They're like, no, we're just good right now. You know?
Well, I don't need a piece of paper to show my love. Like, we don't need a whole thing. We're just engaged. We're good. I got it. I understand.
We should go back to that spot and have a breakup video. You know, you throw a drink in his face and.
Are you in a relationship? Why do I feel like you are?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, yeah, with you.
He's cheating on you. Yeah.
No. It's with you.
You have a serious relationship, right?
Yeah. Every time I talk about my girlfriend on the podcast, I'm talking about you.
That would be a funny little revelation.
Just a 4-year bit.
When you have a girlfriend, he's like, yeah. Yeah, you.
Yeah, she's in Sports Illustrated. It's awesome.
It's straight up like My Real Girlfriend. This is like when you're lying in seventh grade about who your girlfriend is. She's not from here. It's long distance. She's in Sports Illustrated.
That makes sense why my magazine sits there. I never want to break up because I really I'm always in the episodes, even when I'm not there.
You're in literally every single episode.
Honestly, one day we should. I mean, I do love it as a little accent piece.
When did you scream it?
Yeah, that's new.
Listen, girl, we got the, you know. You guys are engaged. This was my engagement present to you guys. I got it framed. But I think one day we should stage like a dramatic breakup where you're like, and you smash this and throw it across the room all dramatic.
And then that woman who was there filming our engagement, she just happens to be there again. And she's like, oh, my God, this is a mess this time.
It says, KFC Radio, one of my first stops since finding out I got this cover, baby. That was a moment. That was a hell of a moment for you. You look pretty good, I'd say. Pretty decent. Pretty decent on the cover here. How about you in this like suit jacket here? You're looking more professional, you know?
I mean, you guys, I'm wearing blue bra top underneath.
There you go. I mean, you got a lot cooking right now. You got your own line of this, your own line of that. I mean, you can be like Camille head to toe now, right?
Yeah, what aren't you doing right now?
I don't know. A lot of things. I don't have a podcast. That's why I come on yours all the time.
Oh, yeah. That was.
Don't do
that
it.
That seemed insulting, in fact. Like,
no.
Like, I don't know. I'm in the new Ryan Reynolds movie, but I guess I don't have a podcast.
I don't do your dumb shit.
I always do your podcast. Oh, yeah. I'm literally going to be 95, hopefully still in Sports Illustrated, being what do we have to talk about?
No, but it is true. There are people who, like, We do so many interviews where people are like promoting a certain thing or whatever, and then there are people who are just like, yeah, like pencil it in no matter what. I don't care what's going on or what's not going on. We're gonna chop it up.
I feel like I almost feel weird coming on. Like if I do something, I think I remember talking to you guys and then also with the chicks. Mm-hmm. And I think I was going on to talk about like season two of Wipeout or something. It felt weird. I was like, oh, we're here to talk about
to actually do. So. Yeah. 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 There's a business side of this. Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird if like your conversations in real life with your friends were almost like all like podcast interviews? Like, cause we're just friends talking, but then at the end you have to be like, you know, let me tell you what I'm doing. If at the end of every conversation, your friend was like, well, I got a business call at 9 and I'll see you on this trip at 10.
The other day, cause I'm in New York City right now. Kind of stinks that we're like,
what the fuck? What Why didn't you come over?
I didn't know it was allowed.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, we stopped doing anything about a year ago now.
Yeah, we are back in action.
Wait, so you're just in a hotel room in New York City right
where,
now?
What relatively part of town?
Rob and I got an apartment here.
Oh, you motherfucker. So you just like kind of live here now?
Yeah, very, very recently. But yeah, so, but I will say I didn't know I was going to be here till the last second. So I'm really like in and out. And
shit. Yeah, well, listen, next time you can come through. We're back in action.
I mean, I will say I'm really enjoying being like barefoot and sitting crisscross applesauce.
You can do that too. Yeah, I'll take my pants off right now. We can just hang out. Like this place is, there are no rules
I'm
here.
I'm actually
Come on.
Wearing shoes today that are way too small. I'm taking them off right now. I'm doing it.
Do it.
Done. Shoes off, Camille.
Why are you wearing shoes that are too small?
John
wears a pair of boxers. This is a specific pair of underwear. They are a size small, Camille.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So I forget that things come in sizes sometimes. And I have on multiple occasions, I have bought packs of underwear just in the front. I just grabbed the first ones I saw because why not? And it turns out in the front, I keep the smalls. In the back's where the larges are.
But that's fine. Okay. You do that and you're like, shit, that was stupid of me. Let me throw these out or give them to someone who's small. John just continues to wear them.
I wear them all the time.
He's like 6'2", 300 pounds. It's crazy.
What size are you wearing right now?
Right now, of underwear? Look.
That'll be our title, like, talking underwear with Camille Costa.
Yeah, I would be very disappointed if it's mine.
So, Sports Illustrated, I mean, I really do have to ask, like, wait, which of your million things are we really talking about today? Because you do have so many things, so many business adventures.
The magazine launched today, and I haven't even seen the magazine yet. I don't even know what photos are in the magazine, so I'm here talking about it, and I'm like dying to catch a break so I can go run out and get one to go figure out.
I would guess they're pretty okay. I wouldn't worry.
What's happening? What is in the world right now? I have no
clue. Where was your shoot this time? I remember the first time we talked. And you were, it was the first time you were in the magazine. It was obviously not your cover time. And you were like, you guys know how it is when you're like topless in Bali. And we're like, no, we have no idea what that's like, Camille.
Absolutely not.
So where were you this time?
I was in Belize, but that time. But
Belize, my bad.
Yeah. And then I was in Australia, then the Dominican. And this year we did a domestic. So I was in Miami Beach.
Hey. I do know what it's like to be topless there. That one I can relate to.
Do you prefer, is it nice to like not have to fly like around the world, or do you actually like getting out there?
Oh my God. I mean, going on an international trip, even if it's for 2 days. And I remember when I went to Australia where that cover was shot, I remember traveling for like 30 hours and I think I was in Australia for 30 hours and then back on the flight to go back. It was the most epic, like one of the most epic trips of my life. But I have to tell you, I was so happy that they didn't take a hiatus this year because of everything in 2020 and that they figured out a way to shoot. But it's a much different situation when you're in Belize on a private island topless and you're in Miami Beach topless.
Oh, wow, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
And there's the general public and I'm like, what's happening?
How does that work? Do you just like take the picture, you know, hold them up, like take the picture, come back up?
I'm holding them the whole time. So, you know, I
love that we're saying them, like the girls.
Comfortable around the team. So when you're facing the camera crew and everybody that you like, you know, and love and has been shooting with you over the years, like you get really comfortable. So we actually had to put like little pasties on. I'm used to just, you know, let it just
free the nip.
Yeah, let them go.
Yeah.
So I was getting a little comfortable when you're getting in the zone. I'm practicing in my blazer. You're getting in the zone in between takes or when you want to reposition, let go. And then you start again. There was no letting go. So it was like juggling. It was very...
Do you ever, is there ever like a new hire or something where you're like, oh shit. Like, you know, you have a crew of 10 and then all of a sudden there's like an 11th and now you're like, well, wait a minute.
I think that's the, that's, I don't want to say it's a problem. To some people it is. I'm so comfortable that sometimes, even if I don't even know, if I have like a quick change somewhere in front of like strangers or something, like I will undress. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, what are you sorry for? I'm sorry I offended you.
Listen, I don't think anybody should be apologizing. I think it's a pretty, this is a, you know, if you're comfortable, it's a win-win. I think everybody's all good with that.
That happens to me on the subway all the time when I take my pants off. But you're like, I'm sorry. No, I took my pants off. You're good.
Hang on. I just saw, as I was looking up the pictures for this year, I'm seeing Megan Thee Stallion in this issue. That we is
with everyone else,
dude.
It's a real hot girl summer.
Yeah, for real. This is Australian. Yeah, I'm looking at the SI swimsuit IG, and it says that they did like a sit down with her, and so you can catch that.
I still haven't looked at everything. Still,
she is she's a baddie. Do you ever interact with like the other models, or is it like you do yours, they do theirs, and everyone just? I mean, yeah, I've seen group shots, but is it for the most part you're solo or for the most part you're all together?
Yeah, for the most part you're solo. So when someone's flying in and shooting, the other person is, or you're shooting, someone's flying in and getting ready. And then when you leave, they go into the fitting room and they get ready for their shoot. So it's really like in passing. A lot of the times you don't even realize, I didn't even know all the other models that shot in Miami, even though we were all in the same hotel, but it was just like, done, you're out. So there's a couple girls I saw in passing. I remember actually I was passing Olivia Culpo when she came into Australia and I was leaving and I was like, dang, I wish we could like both be here together and chill, but good job, get out. Next
girl. She's in the comments of this. Look at all these blue checks. It's like, so this is Megan's picture and it's like, it's Olivia Culpo and Kristen Harper. Everyone's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Slay queen. Yes, queen. All that shit. I'm loving this. It is funny to see that like you can be on the goddamn cover and you're still like fangirling over someone else being on the cover, you know?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We all are like, who is the cover? No one knows. We all find out when everybody else does. And like I said, there's people are seeing my images before I'm even seeing them.
You know what they should do one year is like rock, paper, scissors between two chicks for the cover. That would be unbelievable. I would watch that shit.
Wait, you just said, do you have no input in it in any of your pictures? None?
Wait, like nobody or like, you know, like if fucking Giselle says she's not doing something, right?
I mean, I'm not her, so.
But I mean, like, this is like your, what, third or fourth time?
I was
going
to say, you should have some. Well, let me talk to your agent. Let me represent you.
When we do the, I will say this year and I think last year, when we do the fittings, I remember just going in there and be like, put me in, you know, whatever you want. Like, I was just
happy to be there.
But now that I like know my body type and I know like what's flattering to my figure and stuff like that, it's cool. MJ will be like,
MJ,
pull out some of your favorites. Dude, and it's cool in that.
It's nuts to me that MJ is like, she might be the more dominant MJ.
Like the moment you said MJ, I knew exactly who you were talking
right.
about.
Right. And the fact that we know like a photographer, I mean, she you know, Michael Jordan is second when it comes to dominating your field.
And Michael Jackson's not even in the conversation.
Forget about it. Shit, that's awesome.
When I say MJ and Barstool Sports, you guys are probably thinking about the athlete. But you guys
no, not anymore. Swear to God, I'm not. Nope. Swear to God, I'm not. When I first like found out, not even who she was. I just like found her Instagram and I was kind of just like, at first I didn't know if it was a guy or a girl because she was taking the pictures and I was just like, who is this lucky, lucky person? What a job.
Well, yeah, because that's so interesting because
I still don't know what she looks like.
Her images, baby profile picture, she's there. I think she's in some of the photos that she uploaded recently.
Would you know her by sight?
I wouldn't know her by sight. I have seen her. I wouldn't know her by sight, but I have seen her.
MJ Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm looking at her now, but it's like if she had walked in, I wouldn't be like.
Gorgeous. I mean, and she just.
Oh, look, there you are specifically with her. It's a shot of you two.
No, that's not me. That's not her.
Oh, well, it's on her Instagram. see what I'm telling you. I don't know who she is. It's just wild. But I almost feel like I have to like pay respect to her, because I feel like growing up as a guy, and even still now as an adult, it's like Sports Illustrated and Victoria's Secret are, you know, like the end all be all of modeling in my mind. It's and if you contribute to that, then I thank you.
It's what made me come out as straight. The
you came out as a straight guy.
The Tyra Banks issue. I remember seeing that going, oh, that's what I like.
Oh, okay. And you came out as multicultural as well. Good for you, John. You didn't discriminate at all.
That was epic.
I have a question about the shoots. Because I remember seeing a Chrissy Teigen tweet long ago where she was talking about how often people drink on shoots because it dehydrates you. Do people drink a lot of white wine on shoots?
I thought you meant drink water.
No. She said that like everyone drinks white wine all the time.
Oh, her shoot must have had a different environment because it's Chrissy or something. Because
we're
high in heat usually on my shoots, so we're drinking like coolers and coolers of water. Actually, I actually can't believe how long I can go without eating and drinking on sets, because when I'm in the zone, like I'm like, oh wow, like a lot of hours have passed by, or the biggest time to break for lunch, and I'm like, I want to keep going, because when you're just there, you just want. You're in that moment. You just want to keep going. You're in the zone. So
yeah, I feel like Chrissy really was letting it rip. Yeah.
I was going to say, she must have had like a special request or something, because I've never seen.
She might. I forget. It was one tweet. I forget exactly what she was describing, but she definitely talked about models drinking white wine. How about this? Is pepperoni, is that universal or is that hers?
What?
That's what the photographer says if your nipple's showing. Pepper.
I was going to say, I know what pepperoni means in the modeling world, but I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't sure if you were talking about like that people are eating pepperonis on set. Yeah, I know what that means.
That's universal?
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Hang, explain to me. They just shout it out if your nipples are showing, like pepperoni.
Camille?
Sometimes. I mean, it's just so funny to hear you say it. A pepperoni! Yeah.
We got a pepperoni over here!
Why can't you just say, hey, your nipple's out?
Yeah. Do they like whisper it to you? Like, psst, pepperoni.
No, I don't know. Sometimes, I haven't heard someone say that to me in a long time, because I think if they said that, I'd be like, can we have another name for it? Can you just tell me my...
What would you prefer? Okay. Let's come up with the code word for you. If it's not going to be pepperoni and you can't just be literal about it, what would you rather?
Something better than a sweaty Italian meat.
Salami. Gabagool. We got a mortadella showing. What would be your code word for nips?
I don't know. What's like? We should come up with like a cute one. I don't know.
Are we going to describe it literally? Or are we going to or say it's like a little pop out?
Well, Mini Mountain.
Mini Mountain?
Mini Mountain.
It sounds like something from Candyland. This is awesome. Never mind. We win. Gumdrops. How about that?
Ooh, I like gumdrops.
I like that.
Yeah. Gumdrops is cute. But you could say any candy. It could be lollipops. Your lollipops are showing.
But they are gumdrop-esque.
Yeah.
Right?
They could be lollipop-esque too.
We're going to go with the Butterberg wins this
gumdrop?
We're going.
And I think it's it's about the delivery too, you know, like,
hey, like, gumdrop.
Yeah, you can't be like pepperonis. Your ronies are out, girl.
We're gonna revolutionize the modeling industry.
Yeah, have MJ.
We're gonna leave our stamp on it.
Yeah, we'll be the guys. How about we'll be the designated nipple watchers to just be like, yep.
If we can apply for that job, I'm in.
I don't hope this, but I kind of hope that there's a behind the scenes footage that will happen in the next shoot, and I have a slip and it's on camera, and the photographer says your gumdrop.
I think you and the rest of the world wants that to happen too. Gumdrops. How about this? Can you next time you're on set, why don't you say that? Why don't you tell your photographer, if there's a wardrobe malfunction, just say gumdrops, and we're gonna start this movement.
There's no pepperonis when I'm on set. Gumdrops.
And then I feel like one day you can write like a autobiography or something, and you're gonna call it Gumdrops.
Gumdrops.
Like and people, and then it'll be a cute little like anecdote when you're doing the book tour. So why Gumdrops? Well, me and my fiance, we had this code word for when my nipples were out.
Podcasts are fun because you can literally go off about enough.
Anything and nothing. It's
Camille,
amazing.
It's the only reason I have a job.
Yeah.
Just talking about nonsense.
If there was rules to it and like structure that you had to follow, we would have been cooked a long time. Specifically this show. Like, we don't have any rules.
This is episode 100,000 with Camille Kostick, titled Gumdrops.
Yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. So the Ryan Reynolds movie?
Yeah.
Are you guys
going to
go see it?
Yes. Of course. I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm going to call that the Camille Kostick movie that Ryan Reynolds makes an appearance in.
Okay, no. I'm not upset.
How much interaction did you get with him, if any? Because I know sometimes these things are like, you know, none
at all. All the days that I was on set, he was always there because he was always in there. But what was cool is he was giving a lot of direction as well. So it's pretty sweet, too, because I think I love acting a lot right now because – it's something that's such a challenge for me and all the things that I do. Designing swimsuits is also a challenge, but I'm finding that memorizing the lines and not getting to really improv like I do with Wipeout, where, you know, it's unscripted.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even just memorizing the lines. It's what is your facial expression? What is your body language?
Definitely.
You really can't go off script that much until like once you get it down, maybe they'll allow you. But it was such a huge learning experience for me. So I was so nervous. And I kind of like being in that state. I'm almost like very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but comfortable with being uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Like, definitely. I was like, this is really cool. I'm pushing myself to like a new level, and having Ryan there be like, okay, now do it this way. I love it that way. Like getting that reassurance from someone who's so legendary. It was cool. And actually we did there was a private screening in Boston a couple of weeks ago, and Rob and I won't be able to go to the theaters together because he'll be in like football mode. And I go out to shoot Wipeout next month when the movie comes out. So when we found out that we were going to be able to go to this private screening the other week, I was like, this is amazing. We get to watch the movie together. So when we went there, Ryan was there and the two of them met for the first time. And it was I knew the night was going to be special, but I wasn't expecting this moment to happen that I'll never forget when they, you know, shook hands, met for the first time. And then to be standing next to these two men and him be like, put his hand on my shoulder and be like, she's really great. It was awesome to work with him. And I was like, whoa, that was cool. You know, I was like a little kid in that moment.
Yeah.
you know,
that's amazing.
It was just cool to be confident for Rob about being in a film because I'm not in films like that. So,
are we a film girl? Are we calling movies films now all the time? Film.
Proper lingo for
yeah, no, then. It's movies. You do film sometimes too, right?
I say film.
When you're trying to be,
I say
it.
Film for like
cinema.
Like Fast and Furious is a film.
Fast and Furious is a movie. Not a film.
What's the difference?
Well, film to me feels like when you're trying to be like, I was in a film. I won the Oscar because I'm in a film.
Oh, okay.
I'm just being a pain in the ass. That's all.
That was a difference.
No,
but guys, don't be late to the movie because I'm in that opening scene.
Oh, wow. Lead off.
I'm the person who sometimes shows up late, so I'm just telling other
people. I'm there because I'm seeing all the previews. I'm doing all that shit.
Impossible to be late to a movie now anyway, though, because there are 20 minutes of previews.
Yeah,
and they're all awesome. And I love them. I'm not complaining about that. I love them.
Yeah.
Waiting for the movies to open, so I feel like it's like a thing to do. Like you're gonna be, it's time to go to the movies. It's 5 o'clock, you know, it's 7 o'clock movie. Like, just
what's your movie? Out. What's your movie order? Snack order.
What do you mean?
Like when you go to the movies, do you get snacks to eat?
Oh, of course.
What's your go-to order?
I get the big jumbo popcorn, extra butter, like pump it on top, and then
do you ever do the straw? You put the straw underneath the like butter dispenser, and then you put the straw into your popcorn bucket. So instead of just getting the top, you get like into the bottom of the popcorn with the butter. It's revolutionary.
I don't know if I could be caught.
No, you're allowed to do it. Come on. You get a little messy. You got to be ready for it, but you get that butter all in the middle. Okay, so you get the jumbo popcorn.
And then you always have to get a chocolate and a sweet. So I'll get like the Swedish fish and like an M&M or something.
See, we go. How about, what do you think about Buncher Crunch? The Nestle's Buncher Crunch. You put that into the popcorn.
I don't do that. I don't put chocolate in the popcorn.
I don't put it in like, either because it melts the chocolate.
You don't have to put so it I, in, yeah, no, but no, you do the dump. Bite. Yeah. You eat the popcorn, you eat the Buncher Crunch.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
And what's your
I've
drink?
I've never heard of that. I get a water and a lemonade.
Ooh, a lemonade. That's an interesting. So wait, you're rolling in. You're getting a jug of pop, a tub of popcorn, Swedish fish, M&M's, water, and a lemonade. That's awesome.
That's why we're engaged right there.
Yeah, that's love. That's love. I can't even imagine what your side piece, Rob, when you're out cheating on John, when you're out with Rob, you get all that shit. I can't even imagine when he's rolling. You guys probably have a fucking Thanksgiving feast.
It's not what you think. It's the opposite. It's the and I know he's not the only man out there, so women, speak up. This is what happens. I don't want anything. Just get me a water because he's trying to be healthy. Like, no, oh. You go to the movies, you enjoy, but then he eats everything of mine. And I don't share like that. I'll share the popcorn.
Yeah.
But I will not. I'm having one pack of Swedish fish. Get your own.
That's funny. That is reverse, though. It's usually... Yeah, I can see.
And every time he's always not to finish it. I'm like, it's not about not finishing. It's about letting me have my moment to just enjoy all of it before it's gone, and then you can have it.
I feel like there's some deeper meaning here. I mean, you've had your time, okay? Now it's my time, and it's my Swedish fish. Leave me alone.
I've worked for 10 months for a bikini. Like, now I get to have a Swedish fish. Yeah. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, do you have a moment like that after you shoot where you're like, you don't have to worry about anything for a little while and you just go nuts?
Listen, I'm like not really into that like diet culture. So whenever I talk about like I have cheat meals after shoots for sure. Like I'm not eating penne alla vodka the night before I'm, sure. I'm going to Australia. Sure. I'm eating it after. But I just like I love eating clean. I love eating healthy. I do love if it's someone's birthday, if it's Christmas, if it's I'm eating all the cookies, I mean all the Carvel ice cream cake. I'm enjoying it. If you're gonna do it, enjoy it. Don't complain about it. Do that. But I love penne alla vodka. And yeah, that's my cheat meal. I grab my girls. We go out. The bread, all the bread and oil and butter. Mm-hmm.
I like how when you describe like holidays and cheat meals, it's just like a Tuesday for me.
That's breakfast. I'm having the penne alla vodka for breakfast.
I have, okay, Camille, is this disgusting? In my sheets in my bed,
oh,
I have, there are pockets on them, which are like, I don't know how that, they have like pockets.
Like along the side of the bed. He has, like, little pouches, if you will.
And I fill them with candy.
Oh.
And puts her hand, her chin in her hand. Oh, okay.
No, I honestly was just admiring my fiancé's face after he said that. He was like, and I have candy in there, and I put my hands in the pockets.
Oh, it was so cute. She loves like, it.
Are you going to sleep over?
I'll fill your side, too. Don't worry about it.
What a gentleman.
I'll get you a bunch of Swedish fish. We'll stuff them in there.
What would be your last meal, last supper? You're on death row. You get one more meal. You get an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert, and a drink.
Okay. The appetizer would be probably like a big bowl of guac. And chips, and that has to be perfect ratio. Like, let every dip, let there be a chip.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would have penne alla vodka for the entree, and then for dessert, I would have a full Carvel ice cream cake to my face.
What's your drink?
And
I'll give you like a, you can have like a wine if you will. You get like a soft drink and like an alcoholic drink if you want it.
I'm a weirdo when I eat ice cream. I love to drink water, so I definitely need water on deck, but.
Would you do the lemonade?
I do a pina colada.
Like, wow, I did not see that coming. Penne vodka with your pina colada. Wow. That is something. Amazing. I love it. All right, well, we're going to let you go because you got plenty else to do, but we've got, you know, the jewelry, we've got the swimsuits, the swimsuit issues out, wipe out, the movie.
Free guy, that's my birthday, by the way, if you want to wish me a happy birthday when it comes out, that's okay.
It's on Friday the 13th.
No, it's actually August 14th, I lied. But it's the same weekend.
Opening weekend, yeah.
going to go that weekend? What are you doing to celebrate?
I am actually going on a bachelor party that weekend. So yeah, I'm very selfless of me to allow them to have a bachelor party on my birthday weekend. But
I guess you're not throwing a birthday party for your fiance. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, yeah. Really interesting.
So it turns out you don't have any plans. Good.
Okay. All right, love. Thank you so much as always.
I'll talk with you guys. Thanks, guys.
Catch
you next time. Bye. If you just watched this video, subscribe, because subscribing is the only thing that keeps us employed here, because if we don't work here, we're going to have to be cold callers dealing with fucking...
Or chicken. Well, yeah. Well,
or a chicken coop raiser, a chicken raiser, a chicken farmer.
I think we just go farmers is what they call them.
Farmers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just farmers. Chicken farmers. I don't want to be a farmer, and I don't want to be a cold caller. So make sure you subscribe to the video. Comment below what should we name all six of our chickens that Jackie's going to be taking care of.
And how much do we think they cost? Because we're going to get to the bottom of that.
Take a guess how much a chicken costs.
Jackie's got to pay for it, which sucks for her. But
subscribe, leave a comment.